What's the difference between espresso and coffee?
Espresso is, I mean, they both use like...
hold on, before you tell me that. Is espresso a thing, or is that just the way
it's people mispronouncing, yeah.
Okay, it's when people say espresso, that's...
Espresso, yeah.
Okay, I thought that, but I don't know that world enough at all to correct anybody.
Right.
But I want to be like, you're saying, you're just saying nothing, that's not a word, that's like saying vegetables.
Yeah. It's they're taking the word express. They go, oh, because it's quicker and easier. Yeah. Espresso. And they're like, no, espresso. Because it's fucking Italian or whatever the hell. Coffee mug, this little way to haze. Liquid proof that I can win this race. Coffee mug, but the back is all. They interlink. Keep it fucking all. I don't need no food to talk. I just struggle with my coffee mug. I don't need no kiss mug. I just struggle with my coffee mug. They're the man. My liquid dark choice. There's too many hooks. And they got too much voice. So for the moment, we're all pretty good to go. When I am cooked, when I am on go. I don't need no food to talk. I just struggle with my coffee mug. I don't need no kiss mug. I just struggle with my coffee mug. Every day, mommy, me, struggle with my coffee mug, mug.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Take. Guess who I am? Ari Shaffir. On today's episode, it's all about coffee. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 207, Cup of Joe, with Nick Youssef. Nick's a huge coffee fuckface. No, that's the wrong word. Coffee head? Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Oh, look at that. I like looking at people taking pictures. Yeah, that's right. Get the palm tree with the sun behind it. Mm-hmm. It's going to kill it on Instagram. Your friend, you guys should both be taking pictures. You guys are going to crush it today on IG. So we talked all about coffee. It's Nick is a huge coffee head, and we were in Seattle, and he went to try to go to every coffee shop in Seattle. And I was like, hey, let's do a podcast about coffee. I'm already going to do one about tea later with Godfrey. But then I was like, hey, instead of doing it later, let's just do it here from Seattle, because that's like a coffee town. You'll find out it's not so much about Starbucks as about different... He kind of explained to me all the different waves of coffee and how it's kind of come about in America and how it's gotten more popular. So it was fun, interesting. And we talked a lot about other shit too. So I have some news to tell you. The Oscars happened. And I just want to tell you that I had my Sabotage screening of American Sniper. And it was so fun. So we had about six comics. One of the comics actually liked the movie the first time, but Matt Edgar, but he was willing to go see it again. Tony Hinchcliffe came, Hormoz, Ari Manis, I forget who else, PDC. And I didn't know who was in there. God, you guys, it was so much fun. I was so nervous. Before it started, I was so nervous. Like, I was going into the theater. The previews had already started. My heart was beating out of my chest. You guys, mischief every once in a while. You gotta do it. You gotta live your life. That's stopping and smelling the roses. That means trying some shit. It means asking a girl out you have no business asking out. It means fucking, you know, stealing from the airport convenience store. Doing some shit, you guys. So we went in, took our seats. Sort of middle left to the back, towards the back, like halfway in the back section on the left-hand side. It was six of us all together, and we didn't know. The previews had started, so we didn't know who else was in there or if anybody else was in there that was, like, kind. You know, I'm, like, on our side. Maybe 65, 70 people in there, and we were six. So the movie starts. Previews were fine. The movie starts. First few minutes aren't bad. The action in American Sniper wasn't the worst part. The action was okay. But then like 7, 8 minutes in, 10 minutes in, Tony Hinchcliffe had never seen it before. So he didn't even know. He was like, wait, what are we doing here? Like, what are we supposed to be doing? I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, when a super shitty part comes, just mock it. He goes, which parts? I don't understand. And I'm like, you'll see. Eric died, bro. That's a line. Eric died, bro. Come on, homeowner. So anyway, watch 10 minutes, and then the part comes where the fuck, where he's about to snipe that kid, and then his friend, you did it! You did it, Cheryl! Go get it! I love when dogs overrun a ball on linoleum floors. Go get it. Go get it. They overrun it. They got to skid and come all the way back. You guys, life is beautiful. I'm not even high yet. I'm about to be. So we went in there. The first scene started. And I threw that line up that I was like, but it was too quick. It was like, hey, instead of fucking shitting on the guy, because his sniper buddy, so he's sniping, has to shoot a kid, has to decide if he has a kid. I mean, he's decided to decide if he's going to shoot a kid. And he goes for air support. He goes, can you get a read on that? Is that an IUD or not? Air support goes, it's your call. And then his buddy, who's there with him, goes, if you're wrong, they'll send you to Leavenworth for this. And then right then, I was like, hey, pick up some goggles, some fucking binoculars, and stop adding pressure to the shot. Huge laugh. Then every time, here's the best part. Every time there was just some shitty over-the-top line, like when him and her are in the bar together and they're meeting, it's just some cheese dick line that if you're watching alone, you'll just sort of, your mind will take it in, it'll feel a little weird, and then you'll just skirt past it because the movie continues. But when that happens, Tony one time just like started laughing, just like, just like that. And that's when we found out how many people were in the theater. Because like 20, 25 people around the theater would all start laughing too. And there was like 15 of those lines that were so bad that they were inexcusable. That all it took was one guy somewhere in the theater, just one guy, just to go, and then you'd have a bunch of people cracking up. I mean, God, it was a garbage movie. That scene where he's like, his buddy is like, oh, you killed 1,000. No, you blew 1,000 men. And then he's like, ha ha. And he like throws food at him. All the joking parts were beyond terrible. Anyway, so it was a lot of fun. And then the fake baby came. And as soon as they got the fake baby, everyone in the theater started going, fake baby, fake baby, fake baby. Oh my God, it was fake. I didn't notice it so much the first time. It was just a rubber baby. At some point, they used a baby that was like, you know how when they have those dolls and then they sleep, but then you pick them up and their eyes like open up. Their eyes are naturally like, I don't know how it's set, not naturally, but like whoever made the doll makes it so like if it goes like standing up, the eyes will pop open. So as he's holding this baby, he fucking moves it to like 45 degrees and the eyes pop open all like rigid like that. It was so bad. It was so bad. And everyone's yelling, fake baby, fake baby. Turns out the Arab babies are fake too. When he was over there, all those babies are fake as shit too. And everyone started laughing at that. We got shushed once. One time there was a shushing. Kept our line short enough so it really didn't get too invasive. I mean, you know, the action parts were good, but just, and Tony, every time there was like a really badly acted line, someone would go, Oscar award nominee, and everyone would just start cracking up. Like every time he clearly phoned in a scene, Oscar award nominee. And then at the very end, when instead of showing the murder, they just put the words up on the screen. I'm like, that 2 hours and 18 minutes into the film, and that's what you decide not to show? Dude, you can't eat this, idiot dog. Question for the audience. Are dogs dumber or smarter than children? I think they both eat anything to their death, right? So it was a shitload of fun. Somebody said I should do it every year, but here's the problem. Every year, there aren't movies as badly made as this. There aren't movies where they just do one take, even though the actors didn't nail it. They usually just do that again. It might not be the best movie in the world, but it's not laughably bad. It's not beyond horrible like this one was. They don't use fake babies in most movies. God, start to finish. Why was the beginning even in there? I mean, when I saw it again, it's like, why do they have... It's a 2-hour, 18-minute movie. Why do you have this whole shit about the rodeo? I mean, why? Why? It's so long. And this weird brother who's like super gay for him. Anyway, shit tons of fun. Duncan would have come, but I couldn't do it on Thursday. He would have come if it was on Thursday. So for the people who came, I met some of them afterwards. Fucking fun. They were all laughing about how terrible it was. I don't know, man. It was cool. Gotta plan fun shit like this. It's what makes life worth living. And the people who love the movie, it's just because you didn't take a step back and say, whoa, what was that part? You just kept going with it. It's all right. The scene where he's flirting with her at the bar, and she, and then they're outside, she goes and barfs, and then she like, I'm not sleeping with you, and they both like laugh. It's like, dude, acting class level. Like beginning acting class level. Like, we're going to be natural. Ugh. That drinking scene in general was terrible. Anyway, all right. So here's the episode. We're all going to talk about coffee. That's what it is. And by the way, guys, don't forget. So starting this week, for the next 5 weeks on Thursday nights, my storyteller show, This Is Not Happening, is on Comedy Central. Thursday nights, 12:30 a.m. after at midnight, 11:30 Central, 10:30 Mountain, 9:30 DirecTV Western, and 12:30 regular. Set your DVRs. Watch every time. Even if you're not going to watch it, just fucking help me out by setting your DVRs. So this week is a really good one. One of the best episodes. Best. There's eight. One of the best. But it's Miss Pat, Mark Maron, and Steve Renazzisi all telling stories about emergencies. The beginning is awesome, as all the beginnings are. And that's it. Enjoy it. It'll be out on Thursday night. All right, and then a couple of quick dates. I got Portland, May 5th through the 7th. That is at Helium. Brea Improv, not May. I'm talking about March for both of them. Brea Improv, March 12th through the 14th. And no, 12th through the 15th. And Sacramento Punchline, March 26th through the 28th. Plus, I have three This Is Not Happening shows. These are live ones. I don't usually do them taped. The tape ones are done for now. And they are March 10th at the Improv in L.A. That's a Tuesday. Oh, there's three Tuesdays in a row. March 17th in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest. And in Los Angeles, again, March 24th. At the Comedy Store. So the March 10th one is all stories about Jackass. And we have Danger Aaron. We're trying to get Steve-O to do it. If anybody knows Wee Man, reach out to him. If anybody knows Johnny Knoxville, try to get him there. This is like it's just a bunch of people from Jackass. And they're all just going to be telling Jackass stories. It was Eric Abrams' idea. I like it. And then March 17th in South by Southwest is just going to be music-related stories. And March 24th at the Comedy Store Belly Room, it's Comedy Stories. Comedy Store Stories. That one's the early one at 8 o'clock. You know what this dog loves? Cum socks. If you come into your sock and leave it by your bed, this dog will take it and go to town on it. Yeah, you like that cum, don't you? If you have a tissue, Benji had to stop beating off into tissues because the dog would destroy him all the time. All right, let's start the episode, shall we? By the way, Australia is on sale now, too, at my website. At least Melbourne is. Look at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival. I'm there. Let's start the episode. So here's the deal with coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'm just asking Nick about it. I couldn't really relate to him. I've never liked coffee. Who likes coffee? That's what I never understood. How do you get into coffee? So you're a person who's never had coffee before. You try it when you're little, like, oh, this tastes terrible. And then somebody gives you coffee ice cream, and you're like, yeah, same terrible taste. How do you then say, I'm going to give this shit a try? I'm going to give this horribly addicting thing a try when it tastes garbage-ish? I don't get it. So, but everyone got into it, and everyone told me, they're like, oh, you got to try coffee. And I think as an adult, I'm like, why are you trying to get me addicted? You can't go a day without drinking, and you want me in there with you? Nah. That's what people do. When they're addicted to something, they want everyone else addicted to it too, which is why so many people react so badly at me getting this flip phone. All right. Shall we start the episode? I think we shall. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 207. It's possible it's 208, but I think 207. Cup of Joe with Nick Youssef. And if you want extra details on the episode and all episodes, go to my website, arishafir.com, arithegreat.com, both the same site. You can find out all the music. It's in every episode. It's all right there. Some extra features, usually a clip of comedian guests, of their stand-up. And you can click on my Amazon link and do your shopping through Amazon. That would be helpful to me to support the podcast. All right, let's do it. Episode 207, Cup of Joe with Nick Youssef starts now.
Okay, it's just another day at the coffee shop. I grab them coffee beans, time to heat them coffee pots. They turn the lights on, Jay's rush the parking lot. This the neighborhood's number one stop and shop. No regular, we only serve the best. For the low, low, cheaper than the rest. I'm taking orders, tell me who's next. Only cash, no credit, no checks. When your car stop. Welcome to Star Blocks. Wanna triple your not? Invest in our stock. Now we doing numbers. Numbers like a closeout. Be sure to shop with me before it's sold out.
Go. First I take they order like the coffee shop. Hey. Then I steam it up and cook it like the coffee shop. Hey. And then I serve it out the window like the coffee shop.
Hey. All right, I'm here with Nick Youssef. He is lighting matches in the bathroom. This dump he took.
How many time long does it take to light matches?
You gotta wash them. You gotta wash your hands from the matches. Close the door. Okay, good.
Dude, I destroyed that bathroom. Oh. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
Is that you are lactose intolerant.
Who is?
Me.
Okay.
But then you decide I need to eat ice cream anyway.
I'm going to go for it.
Because I have to live.
Yeah.
You got to live.
You got to live.
And then you end up living with the consequences.
When did you have ice cream?
When we had pie.
Oh, yesterday.
Two times. We had two different pies and I got ice cream each time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, dude, consequences aren't until like tomorrow.
That reminds me of when D from What's Happening booked that burger commercial.
Uh-huh.
And they're shooting this commercial. And she's like, I can't shoot anymore. And they're like, why not, D? She goes, I'm sick. I'm like, what? How are you sick all of a sudden? She goes, I eat ketchup. It makes me sick. And they're like, well, why'd you eat so much ketchup? It's good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you destroyed my bathroom. Probably 5 minutes, maybe six or seven. It took.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't long.
Took shit, and then you lit the matches up.
Yeah.
How come matches work? It takes the oxygen out of the room?
No, it's just such a strong smell that, like, overpowers.
It does more than overpower, because when you Lysol a place, you get shit and lemon. But when you matches, it's almost like takes away the shit.
Yeah, sometimes. Because I feel like I've gone into a bathroom before where I'm like, it smells like shit and matches in here.
Oh, really?
But maybe it was... Hmm. Yeah, maybe it was a big bathroom.
Maybe the matches was from the first shit, and then someone shit again.
Someone shit again, yeah.
All the matches could do.
And there's been a sulfur shit war going on.
Yeah.
In the air.
Yeah. Yeah. We got sprayed by a skunk in Malibu Creek State Park once.
Mm-hmm.
Merv and Madonia, and maybe Edgar was with us. We were walking along. We saw a skunk, but we think the skunk had just... fucking sprayed some coyotes and gotten away.
Yeah.
It had nothing left. So then Merv's dog was like barking at it, going crazy. And we're like, oh, skunk. Oh, fuck. And then we realized like, oh, that's an animal that can like shoot us from far away.
Oh, really?
So like, oh, skunk. And we all just started running. And then he had to like bolt back. He's like, my dog. Because the skunk was like hissing and shit. And then he sprayed. But I don't think the skunk had that much left.
Wow.
I think he just used it up. So he's only, it's like after you come, it's like, give me 10 minutes. Maybe you could jerk off again, but it ain't that much going to come out.
Yeah. They have, you know? Skunks that have a good refractory period.
Yeah, where it's like, maybe come, but not much. And then yeah, had nothing left on us. And it got the dog, and he was like shoving his face in the dirt and rolling around. They had to go take a shower immediately.
Yeah.
That's when Willie freaked out and left.
Wait, could you smell the skunk spray, though?
We could smell it in the air. Merv got it a little bit. The dog got it a bunch, and he had to keep checking.
And their smell is super sensitive.
Dog.
So he must have been like, this is a nightmare.
He was like, ow, ow, just shoving his like nose in the dirt, like rolling around.
Yeah.
In it. They both went and quickly took a shower in the cold.
Wow. I've never been sprayed by a skunk. I imagine that would stay on your clothes for so long.
So long. Yeah, that towel was, I was like, just trash.
Because you can smell that shit like, I mean, half a block away sometimes. You're walking down the street and you're like, it smells like a skunk.
Duncan and I realized that once we were driving back from La Jolla, one of those weekday trips down there.
Yeah.
And one of our employees, and we're driving back, like, oh, skunk. And we kept talking for like 2-3 minutes. And we're like, still smell the skunk. And he's like, dude, the power, we've been driving for 65 miles an hour for 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We're like
a couple miles out
yeah. from where we were, and we can still smell that skunk from miles away.
It had just gotten in the car, and then it's like that small amount of odor is wafting around in the car, and that's how strong it is.
So powerful.
It's like a Persian with perfume.
Oh, yeah.
They walk into a restaurant, and you're like,
I don't add anything to society. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
My mom could smell cigarette smoke if a car is doing it, smoking in their car. With her windows are all up, but it comes in if her like air conditioning's on like fresh.
Okay, yeah.
She's like, oh.
I can do that if I haven't had a cigarette that day.
Yeah.
And
it hits you?
Yeah, because I won't smoke for hours after I wake. I won't have one till late afternoon.
Yeah, that's what
I remember
your mom is.
One day specifically, I was on Highland just north of Sunset at a red light. There's 5 or 6 cars ahead of me, and I'm just sitting in the car listening to music, windows rolled up, and all of a sudden I smell cigarettes.
Wow.
And I'm looking around, and it's 4 cars ahead of me. Some car had like a little smoke coming out, and I'm like, is my body really that sensitive to nicotine?
Yeah. It is. It's such an addictive thing.
Yeah. But you know what I did? I was like, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to have a cigarette. I'm waiting 2 more hours.
BJ Shea, that the morning host here.
Yeah.
He used to have me in a long time ago. He was saying that he went to like, did one of those ayahuasca ceremonies.
What's
in Peru. Okay. It's like that deep, some leaf that they fucking, you go on like crazy meditative trips for like, you know, 10 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Beat drums around you.
Right.
He said they smoke like real tobacco there. Like and it's tasted completely different.
Really?
Because there's no nicotine added. That's just an additive, he
said.
And
there's no chemicals and all
that. Yeah, it's like none of the chemicals. Just straight tobacco leaf, ground, put in a thing here.
I wonder if it tastes like really good and sweet and like flavorful.
Yeah. I bet it does.
Like a cigar would. All the different flavors you get in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, cigars are way more pungent.
Yeah.
And if you smoke those tobacco, it's like completely different, which I was like, that'd be cool. That's interesting.
It would.
And less of the addictive. Nicotine's the addictive, right?
Yeah, nicotine's the part.
Get you coming back.
Yeah. You think a cigarette company would make that version? Like, here's the
non-nicotine, yeah.
Yeah.
And then just, guys, I don't think we should, but we're going to trust you not to put nicotine in here when nobody's looking.
Right.
Okay? And yeah. I get on your track record alone, we should not trust you.
Yeah, there's like an 80-year track record.
Of you where potentially you've... misleading people to their deaths.
Where at one point you told us it was good for us.
Yeah. knowing it wasn't. Not like before where you're like, yeah, it should open up your lungs. Like way after when your studies have shown.
Yeah.
Like we had a way of knowing that, and then they proved like later, like, well, your scientist told you that it was happening.
Yeah, and then you covered up that information. Yeah.
So they could sell more. Dude, that's everybody. You picture like, oh, those evil cigarette companies, but those are just made up of regular guys who like got higher up, got hired, like be COR for a company. You ran Apple, now run this.
Yeah, they're just business people.
And they're just like, it's worth the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like, cover this up. They don't probably even think it out.
I mean, every industry does that where their product can possibly kill you.
You know what they did in China? So in China, they had this milk, this baby formula.
Yeah.
And they had to test how clean it is. China's not just like Liberia, we're just like, ah, fuck, or Somalia, we're just no government. There's a government. They're trying to like protect everybody. So they have to test whether it's pure or not or what's in there. And so, fine, whatever. They put this additive in there that helps it test more pure.
Okay.
Like it kind of fakes the test. And the additive was what actually ended up causing a bunch of children deaths.
Whoa.
I think 11 children died. These are like babies who are drinking baby formula. And those CEOs, they put them to death.
No way.
Yeah, they're like, you took people's lives into your own hands. You tried to circumvent the system, put people's lives in danger, and took those lives. You didn't put people's lives in danger and got lucky, none of them died. You took lives through your intentional misleading of the law.
I wonder how long, though, the Chinese...
Subversion of the law.
I wonder how long the government was like, let's let this go on a while. We've got a lot of people here. Let's just let them kill about 10,000 kids.
Yeah, we got to
kind of
it out.
Free up the streets a little bit, open up some apartments.
To me, it's like if I know a CEO is like, you knew information was going to lead to the deaths of people. You covered it up, which led to more deaths. You're in prison for life. Or you're killed if the state allows that.
Well, the problem with that happening in America is that anytime a company wants to get away with something,
they just pay money.
They pay lobbyists to change the laws in the government to allow them to get away with it.
All right, well, we're going to slap on the roof. We're going to fine your company a bunch. We're not going to put you in jail. Yeah. Like, why? Why, though?
So when the economy collapsed and they passed that, I think it was Dodd-Frank or something, some bill to, in order to prevent all of these bankers and insurance companies from doing what they did again with all those toxic mortgages, they passed a bill. And within, I think, a year, those same companies were lobbying to get that bill undone.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like, enough is enough. You're stopping making money.
Maybe the government was like, we don't want this to happen again. And those companies were like, well, we kind of still want to keep doing this again. Yeah. It's hard, dude.
And because, you know why? Because they didn't serve any time. They didn't have any
repercussions. They didn't get in trouble.
The ones that were intentionally laundering for like the fucking mob or for foreigners. Remember that one?
Yeah.
They were laundering money. They got this huge fine. Everyone's like, oh, that's crazy. That's such a massive fine. It's like $1 billion.
Yeah.
And it turns out they made like $3 billion off this illegal thing.
Right.
So they're like, still worth it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge fine. It would have been great if we didn't get caught. But even if we knew we were going to get caught, we still would have done it because of how much money we still made.
Yeah, they look at the profit margin and they're like, yeah, getting in trouble and paying some fines, we're still up. We're still in the black.
It's like kind of when you're texting and driving, you're like, I don't think I'm going to kill anybody. And if I get a ticket, that sucks. I don't want that. But if you actually kill somebody, you're like, well, now you've done something horrible.
Yeah.
You can't just pay a fine now. You can't just pay the ticket for texting while driving. Right.
But it's somehow different when it's like white collar crime.
Yeah, it's like, no, I just paid change in paperwork.
Yeah,
I didn't actually raise the gun and shoot somebody.
Yeah, it wasn't
run someone over.
It wasn't a dude in a suit that went downstairs from a skyscraper, walked into someone's home, and robbed them and took all their stuff with a gun.
Right, right, right.
They tricked them on paper, and they lost everything. And you're like, well, that's a different kind of theft.
Yeah,
where somehow you don't get to go to jail.
You just get off.
You get off. And then your company can go lobby to keep those laws in place so you can keep stealing. Yeah.
Man, we're run by the rich.
For sure.
We're run by the rich.
For sure.
Little man can do anything. How crazy was that fight yesterday? So me and Nick are in Seattle right now.
Yeah.
And we went out to, where were we going yesterday? The Comet Bar, which ended up sucking.
Yeah, we were in Capitol Hill, that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which is like just north of downtown. It's supposed to be the hip, cool area. But it's kind of like 6th Street in Austin, where it's like fratty, bro-y kind of.
Fratty a little bit, yeah.
It's where
6th Street kind of sucks. There's a couple of places that are just off 6th Street that you can go, or a couple of places on, like Jackalope's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to go into 6th Street, and you're like, ew, no one cool goes here.
You got to walk through guys where you're like, if I accidentally bump into this guy, he's going to go, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm not trying to do
anything. I saw a guy turn to a girl and yell, you're fat! It was just like, oh, dude.
On 6th Street?
Yeah.
So then what, everyone turned around?
To get a look at the fat girl?
No, everyone was like, you're talking about me?
Oh.
I mean, it's Texas. Yeah. Everyone's fat.
They eat meat to prove they're not homosexuals. That's why they're all tremendously fat. They're all so scared of being called gay.
Right,
meat, please. Jerky it. It doesn't matter. I need meat. They all look like Halpin.
Yeah.
Trying to prove to you heterosexuality. Cut 12 years off their life.
Yeah. But yeah, so we park the car, and within a block of walking...
Immediately, I was like, fight. And you were like behind me, like, what fight?
Yeah. And there was it looked like just a pile of people.
And then they separated, they rolled.
Yeah, and they're pulling, like, I think two guys were trying to pull their friends off.
But it looked like once it went down to the ground, somebody said, all right, it looked like it was going to get broken up. But they really didn't. They were just kind of standing them back up again.
I think what it was is like these guys were like removing their friends, but then the people underneath that were choking each other, they were like, oh, I'm free again. And they can just start punching.
Oh, right.
Because that's what it turned into.
Maybe someone else got knocked down and they were trying to help their friend up that wasn't part of it.
Maybe, yeah. Whatever it was, it freed up that pile of people.
All around this hot dog stand, top of this hill.
Yeah.
We're walking up to it. And it was just going back and forth. Some girl got knocked over.
Yeah.
And then a guy brought out the fucking mace.
What looked like
spray.
Like it looked like a cartoon mate. Like, you know, a cartoon character pulls a giant mallet out of a bag, and you're like there's no way that could have fit in there.
Fire extinguisher.
It really did. Yeah.
The hot dog guy did it.
Yeah.
Came around the corner and just started, but it wasn't that straight spray.
It was like a fire extinguisher.
It was a spread.
It looked like he was going to pull it out and then press a thing, and then a flag would come out and it would say bang. Like it was like that kind of fucking. Yeah.
And it was like. Whoosh.
It was like a giant fucking cloud.
And then it hit everybody. Like, oh, fuck, it's spreading. People are like, ah. And you're like, oh, mace. Oh, my God, they're macing people. And then you realize the wind is coming right at us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just spread in the air.
Yeah.
And like, oh, mace.
Yeah.
We all ran just like that skunk. We're like, oh, skunk.
Right, right.
Like, let's get out of here. And we had to run down. The mace was chasing us.
Yeah. Yeah, I turned, like, I shielded my eyes first, and then I turned around.
Yeah,
and,
but then
like,
I wanted to watch. I shielded my eyes. Like, maybe my glasses will help.
Yeah.
Dumb. I took a chance.
I walked back about, like, two car lengths, and then I turned around, and these two dudes were, like, running at me, and I was thinking they were running away with me.
From the mace.
So right when I turn around, they both bump into me and then bump, like, off of me. And then they start hitting each other. I'm like, oh, fuck, these are two of the dudes.
Yeah.
And so, like,
and
I
they
back
were
up.
Punching.
Dude.
And downhill, too, so they kept moving that way.
Into the streets, a couple of
rubbing each other.
It was fucking
And then
nuts.
That one white guy, the foreign guy.
Yeah.
He ran away. He was, like, left with his hands up.
Yeah.
But the other guy, the black guy, wasn't having that.
No,
he chased after him.
He kept yelling at him.
Ran after him. He's like, what, what? He goes, yeah. What, nigga, what,
yeah.
What? And I was like, no, that should be reversed. That's what I thought. Like,
Yeah, the white guy should be
using
saying
his
that.
Lines.
And that's why you should be mad at him, because he's dropping N-bombs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what
and
I'm
he's wearing a backpack.
That's what I was against him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then, so he punched that guy a couple of times, but the guy, like, fought him off or something.
His friend went and grabbed him.
Then the other two guys just took a cheap shot at him.
Yeah.
And then the other guy took another cheap shot, and that knocked him out.
Yeah. It was fucking crazy.
And then what were they doing behind the car when they were all going over to him, and that one girl was going, no, that's enough, but they all kept going over to him. I thought they were going to, like, take his wallet or something.
I think they were just trying to beat him more while he was down.
It didn't seem like they were punching at him, did they? I was afraid they were going to go over and get that last kick in. To me, that's always the worst one. On videos, and somebody just, like, kicks a prone body.
Yeah, it looks so...
It's brutal.
So primal and just like, oh, did you need that?
What? Kick him. It's like he's knocked out.
He's not even moving.
Yeah.
Like, you could really, really hurt someone doing that shit.
Yeah, and it's like, you're not proving anything. You already won. You won.
Yeah. Take the victory. Walk
now you're
off.
Trying to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. That one dude who ran across the street when his friend grabbed him, he's like, come on, come on. His shirt was like, he was wearing like a button down, completely ripped open.
Good body, though.
Blood on his face. Blood on his face. And then he goes over to our side of the sidewalk and he's just standing there like panting and like spitting blood out of his mouth. And you could just see this look of like bewilderment and like rage in his eye. And you're just like, how over a hot, like how?
Do you think it was like pushing in line for a hot dog? Because it was right there. And everyone was still in line. So it's not like the fight had like been going on for a while. It seemed like it started right there with everyone still in line.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back at every fight you've ever seen or almost seen, it's never started over anything good.
Or like a girl like, hey, man, I've been looking for you. And like,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
Like, it's just like pushing and escalating. No one wants to back down.
Yeah, there's never like a... You know, hey, you were the mortgage broker that screwed me out of a house. I'm going to fuck you up now. It's always like, bro, you cut in line. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And then it turns, or you staring at my girl.
You cheated on my sister.
Yeah.
It's never that.
With strangers, yeah, it's always like
you staring at my girl. It's like,
But you bumped into me. No, I didn't. I said I was sorry. Fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
And then they start
and then
pushing.
Just fighting.
At that hour, when it's 1 a.m.
Alcohol's so involved.
Always. Yeah. It's never I was high.
Yeah.
But there's an hour of the night where, like...
I mean, I wanted to go and, like, say stop it, but it was dangerous in there. There was multiple people
That's
fighting.
A good way to
get beaten up.
Become part of the
fight.
Stab
or something.
Because when people are seeing red and they see your arm coming at them, they go, you could be friends with those other guys. Boom.
Especially once the guy was down, I felt like going, like, help. But then I was like, fuck, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared to go over there. I want to be like, all right, get out. Come on.
Yeah, there's a million people. Can't
wait
there's
for cops to show up, and then just didn't.
Yeah, they of course show up like...
I mean, it happened in under a minute, I guess, the whole thing. It was cool that you could see it, came right at us, then pass us, we could still watch it.
Yeah, it was like a 3D video.
You have to cross the street, though, and be careful of the cars. It was like Frogger, too, in the middle there.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I'm glad we went to that neighborhood after the show.
It was the best
right
part.
Right away, it was like worth it.
Yeah, it was the best part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like those kinds of neighborhoods that are like the nightlife is like that, where it's there's a million
possibly
people
dangerous.
And it's always just tense, and it's like
Austin doesn't seem tense though, Sixth Street area.
Yeah, not really.
You get drunks, but Boston is like that. Boston is a bunch of meatheads.
You feel like the whole city of Boston's like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They revere fighting.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a guy once like walking down the street after a Rogan show, blood from out of his nose and mouth. Blood all over his shirt, maybe torn too, like a white t-shirt.
Right.
And then just smiling, and I felt like they were going to get pizza. Like,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, it was Saturday, man.
Yeah, great night, yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun night overall. I had some good drinks,
yeah.
Had a fight. I think I won, but who knows.
And if anything, they're bummed out because they only got in one fight.
Right,
like,
right,
slow
right.
Saturday, right, guys? Yeah. Well, let's go get some pizza.
Garbage people, man. Yeah. Garbage people.
This city ain't what it used to be, man. No one fights anymore.
Yeah. Dana White was telling me and Rogan a story about, like, these two brawlers in Boston that were, like, legendary, like we fight people.
Right.
And then at some point everybody knew they were gonna meet one day, Mayweather the Pacquiao style.
Wow.
And like at some point there was something where it happened.
Wow.
Like one of them bumped into the other one and it was just on.
Wow.
I gotta get him to tell that story.
That's a good story.
The way I was just like, I was gripped by it. I was like, wow.
Legendary street fighters.
Yeah.
That's cool. See, I just like, every once in a while, it's fun to hear those stories and see that, but I've never been a let's go get into a fight.
Right.
Like, just whenever those situations are happening, I'm always like, it's just so much smarter to be like, I'm not interested in engaging in this.
I wish it could be just like wrestling only, right? I'm just going to try to get down, no real punches.
Yeah. Or you each hand like a card to each other, like, here's my rule. Here's my yeses and nos.
Do we match up?
Like, clearly no face shots. Like, come on, I have a job. Like, I can't.
Dude, one time we went to see at the Stamp Student Union at Maryland. You wouldn't understand, it's college. But so they had these free screenings sometimes, early screenings of movies. And one of them was Goodfellas.
Okay.
So they put Goodfellas on. No, not Goodfellas. Casino.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get college kids talking about it, which was smart. Pre-internet, right when people got, like, Ethernet and stuff, so... Now it's probably done way more because college could tweet the shit out of everything.
Uh-huh.
But regardless, we went to see Casino. Fucking cool, good-ass movie. Then we left. I was all fucking hyped up. And I turned the corner of my dorm and Jesse Cooper turned the other corner. This big, tough Liberian guy that I was really good friends with.
Yeah.
And we just looked at who he went to and we were like, you want to fight? He goes, yeah, let's fight. And we just started fucking fighting wrestling. He beat the fuck out of me. But it was so fun to try to like work with everything and try to beat the fuck out of somebody.
Yeah.
God, it felt so good. Fight Club.
Yeah, it's sparring. It's like good-natured fun.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu is fun as fuck for that.
Yeah, I want to take something like that or boxing or like...
Boxing's, to me, too much striking. Too much getting hit in the face and like blood.
But, I mean, you're wearing fucking...
Sort of.
Protective gear.
Like, ow.
And gloves.
Ow.
Right. But if the jiu-jitsu, there's got to be ows.
It's like stop. And people stop. It's
right.
It's like a punch. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never been hit with headgear on. I think you can still get fucked up, though.
I feel like
jabs.
It would feel annoying. Where you're like, God, fucking...
Big headgear. I want that sumo headgear like they have at like halftime at basketball games. Lights. Yeah. I love watching all these cars come down with their lights off, knowing they're about 20 minutes away from getting a ticket.
Yeah.
You just see them all the way down. That's my new thing. I always give the flash sign to people. I'm a good person, so I give the flash sign.
Right. I always think about that urban legend.
Fuck that urban legend, Nick. That doesn't exist.
Think about it. No, I don't think it does, but it always reminds me of that.
Cop in Texas, one of the towns it was rumored to be part of. He goes, no, that's not a thing, and people are driving without their lights on because other people are scared to tell them. Help people drive safely.
That's what's cool about urban legends.
What?
That they just they have that weird power. You wonder if they still do with like the internet, where now if someone tells you that, you're like, I don't know, and then
Snopes.
You Google it.
Snopes.
Yeah, and you find out right away.
Yeah, Rogan talks about that certain rumors were so powerful that even before the internet, he in Boston and his friend in L.A. all heard that rumor.
Yeah.
How certain rumors are so powerful. And to me, means they have an air of truth to them. Like, what do you think of you? Where'd you grow up? La Crescenta?
Yeah.
Before the internet?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of when I tell you Richard Gere?
Oh, the hamster and the gerbil.
So how'd you hear that? And I heard it. I heard it in Maryland. I mean, it's not like a guy... I mean, that was a powerful rumor.
Yeah, well, there was also the one where Marilyn Manson got two of his lower ribs removed so he could suck his own dick. Did you ever hear that one?
No, that's great. That Marilyn Manson used to be a boner from who's the boss?
I don't know. I've heard another one where he was Paul from Wonder Years. And
Paul
I'm
from
like,
Wonder Years, that's it.
There's no way.
No, boner... I know who boner is. Boner's...
I don't know. I remember.
Pardo's wife's sister who died. Committed suicide. Boner Stabone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can't exist, brother.
Yeah. I forget his name. But yeah, there's another one where Little Kim. I've heard different versions where it was like a few different female.
Those are like room. Yeah, maybe.
Where she had to get her stomach pumped because she swallowed like
so
a
much
gal.
Cum.
Yeah,
yep.
So much cum.
I heard that one about John Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, when I was young. Also, he had AIDS.
AIDS?
Bon Jovi had AIDS. But that rumor didn't stick around as long.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the truth to it. It was just a rumor that went and failed.
But sometimes you can start rumors based like you look at someone's persona and you're like, that could be believable. Like the Marilyn Manson thing, just because he was so dark and weird and perverted and all these different things. You could be like, that. Cut his ribs removed to blow himself. But it's like, what truth could that have been based on?
Blow himself. Plus, that guy can get blown all the time.
Yeah. It's like, why would he do that? It's just telephone. Like, you hear one thing, and then by the time it gets to the 200th person, it's become he's removed his ribs.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can hear Nick Youssef in the Occasionally Awesome podcast with Kevin Christie.
Yeah.
Kevin Christie just had a story on This Is Not Happening that came out Friday the... What date are we up to right now?
The 20th.
Friday the 20th?
Yeah.
If you, security?
Security?
Hold on. You keep talking.
Okay. Security just came to the door. Security's at the door busting Ari for being a Zionist. Oh, they got the wrong room. So they're knocking on the door because Ari's Do Not Disturb sign has been up for 2 days. And I think they thought he was dead. That's a pretty good hotel when you think about it. Every hotel I've stayed at, I leave the Do Not Disturb sign and no one disturbs me. This hotel, they knock on your door to make sure you haven't committed suicide. That's the Seattle in it.
I love confronting people on like... Let's just go for worst case scenario. Let's make the comic joke in front of regular people.
Yeah.
Like, so we're just checking to make sure. I'm like, what? That I'm not swinging from a noose. Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just hope they don't find you morbid.
Yeah. I just said that's the Seattle in them.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, a lot of people kill themselves in this really, really depressed city.
Yeah. Not in this room. The multiple angles for light.
Oh, yeah.
See, this all the room. Way to the river.
And the sky is like clear right now.
Oh, I got to open that up for you.
This is very un-Seattle. Yeah, the weather is like good up here. I'm used to it being like, or from what you hear about it, it's like always cloudy, always rainy, always cold. Right now, the skies are crystal clear and it's like 60 degrees. It's fucking great. Oh, that view is cool. That's a great view. Yeah, this city's cool.
They were like, we can change it for the wraparound. And I was like, yeah, wrap around it. The water.
This city's great.
Yeah. I like skylines in general.
Yeah, dude, a good view is like... I mean, imagine waking up to a good view and then you go to bed right before... Or I mean, going to bed like right after looking out. It's just like it's calming. It feels nice.
Yeah. I would love to live in like the...
I can understand why people are like, no, I need a place with a view.
You ever go to La Jolla Cove?
I've been there once, yeah.
You see along that cove, like around, when it wraps around, you see those houses on the thing.
Right, yeah.
Like, wow, I want to live in there.
I know.
All right, so here's the deal. We're in Seattle. Let's do this before we run out of time. 6:12. We got to go in an hour. That's okay. That's enough time. Good long introduction. Meandering introduction.
Yeah.
So we're in the home of the best coffee in the world, Starbucks. So
hold on. Let's,
why not?
Hold on.
It's your favorite.
It's no. Probably
if
my least.
One thing I know about Nick Youssef, he loves two things. He loves his Creed and he loves his Starbucks.
The first thing is also... The second thing, too, are incorrect. Did you do any research?
And you love brass.
Did you do any research?
Did you lose your virginity to her?
I did.
Oh, wow. You lost your virginity to her. I saw her the other day.
I was 19.
Golly. Now you're 30.
32. I was a year...
32?
I was a year into comedy before I lost my virginity. I used
when
to do a bit about
comedy,
it.
18 or 17?
18.
18.
Yeah.
And you're 32 now.
Yeah.
I've known you almost half your life.
I guess so.
In another 4 years, I guess, I'll be half your life. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I started, young. I mean, I was a teenager, and I was a virgin.
Virgin teenager.
Yeah.
Creed fan.
Just that album. What was it called? Human Clay.
Describe
I remember one
cover.
Night.
Describe the cover to me.
I think it was a desert and maybe a hand sticking out of the ground.
Nick, people that listen to this podcast respond to honesty. So
I'm being totally honest. Someone right now.
About it.
Someone right now. Google it and see. Ari, you Google it.
I'll Google it. What is it? Creed what?
Creed Human Clay is the name of the album. I think it was a desert with like a hand.
We're going vinyl. We're going to get an image of the vinyl.
Sticking out of it. Whatever. Just as long as it's the cover.
You are correct.
Okay.
A desert with like a, yeah.
Yeah, with a hand or some shit, right?
Easter Island thing coming out of it.
So I remember doing open mics. And
on, computer.
I mention on stage liking that album, and I remember people...
shitting on
it. It was at Bar Azur. So it was
Bar Azur.
Big open mic where it's like 50 comedians, right? And I remember saying something positive about it. And then a couple comics like started laughing. and like, I go, what? And at the time, I literally couldn't understand.
You had no concept of people not loving Creed and let alone mocking them.
Yeah, I was like, why would you? I don't understand. There's some good songs on here. And people were like, dude, that band is so gay. They're like Christian rockers. And I had no idea. I was like, dude, there's some good songs on here. And then people were like, look, dude, look into like what they're all about and you'll understand. And then I defended them for like months.
Wow, months before you realized.
Before, yeah, at some point. I used to always say, I'm like, look, rock was in a really bad place. And the only good things at the time were like all that rap rock bullshit, like Linkin Park and Papa Roach. And to me, that was worse. And
those
then
are
that.
Those all big J bands.
That band came out, and I was like, yeah, this is rock and roll. And then, you know, later I learned it was just, it sucks.
It's a see-through thing. This is what I want the cover to be for this week's episode, but no one's going to hear this before I need the cover.
Right.
It's going to be you as that Creed guy, Human Clay.
This isn't even about music,
Human
this
Clay.
Episode.
It's going to be called Human Gay, and I only mean that in the negative gay way and nothing to do with homosexuals.
Right, right.
Nick Liusef, I don't know anywhere else, but maybe something like that. And then you holding coffee in your hand.
Yeah, that's good.
Instead of whatever
that's
else.
That's good.
And your virginity in the other. No, okay. Can't hold virginity. So I'll just let you like remember stuff there.
Yeah.
Let you look at it.
That's so funny. Yeah, I used to defend.
Love Creed.
I defended that album.
Wow. Is that with
it's the only
wide
album
open?
There's
is,
I
is
had.
Is that with Arms Wide Open?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you take me higher? That one. And then Arms Wide Open.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah.
To a place with something. I don't know. You know exactly.
I don't remember the lyrics.
You have it tattooed in your chest, Nick. You're too much of a virgin to get that.
Dude, I read this story where Scott Stapp, the lead singer, apparently has gone completely off the rails and he's doing like crystal meth. And he like left his, he has like a wife and kids apparently, left his house and was staying in some hotel and like refused to talk to his wife. And he recorded some video and put it on YouTube where he was like, the government's out to get us. All this crazy paranoid shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Guy's gone nuts.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go to coffee though. Because you have become, since you've quit drinking alcohol, you've become a coffee freak.
Yeah.
Were you always?
I've always liked coffee. I've always drank coffee. But, I mean, they kind of coincided. Like, around when I stopped drinking, all this third wave coffee stuff started becoming really popular.
Yeah.
So, like, first wave coffee.
Third wave coffee? Explain these waves.
I'll run through it. First wave coffee is considered, like, the Folgers, that kind of stuff, that homemade instant, just whatever bullshit coffee that you would used to be able to get at diners and that kind of shit, right? So it was that. Then second wave coffee is like your Pete's Coffee and Starbucks and all those like places like that, coffee being that kind of thing. And the kinds of coffee shops that you would see in like those
Pete's
like,
and Starbucks.
Yeah, those
Wait,
kinds
what's
of places.
First wave coffee, just Folgers, just shit.
Yeah, Folgers, just
so you
regular.
Get it at a gas station. Like, oh, I'll make it.
Yeah, that kind of shit. Okay. Stuff you make at home. There's nothing. It's just regular coffee.
And
people
of that, is like 7-Eleven and Dunkin' Donuts supposed to be good?
7-Eleven, I've never heard anyone say anything good about their coffee. People like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. A lot of people like it better than Starbucks.
Oh, really? McDonald's, do they have coffee?
People say their coffee is pretty good. And this is
probably
because
a lot of people drink it because they eat so much McDonald's. They're like in the morning, they're like, I'll get a coffee.
Maybe, too. Yeah. And then, you know, they're comparing it to like, oh, the local diner where I have coffee. Where those places are just like...
It's just in a pot.
Yeah, they just take coffee and brew it in like a drip coffee pot, you know. Yeah. So they just like to make it like better. They just put more coffee and it makes it way stronger. Right. You know that's what used to differentiate good coffee from bad.
How it's much like, you use?
Yeah, you just pour a ton of shit in there. Flavor was not really like a priority because you would just get coffee from wherever, you know.
Yeah,
like the
that's
major,
how they are with vaporizers for weed.
Right,
you just fill it the fuck up, and you're like, oh no, it's a shitload of vapor.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's similar to that. So that second wave coffee thing was like, you know, from anywhere from like the
Starbucks, Pete's.
Yeah, 60s and 70s on into
really?
Like the...
When did Starbucks start?
Starbucks started, I want to say, I don't remember, probably the 70s maybe?
Yeah.
70s or 80s or...
I heard the people that bought Starbucks really wanted to buy Pete's And then that, then later they got the money and did it.
Well, what, no, what happened is the head roasters and the people that opened, because Pete's was before Starbucks. That started first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were one of the first ones.
71.
Yeah, so I think in the East Coast it was like Green Mountain and another company were like doing the thing. Yeah. And they would get coffee from good places, but there would never really be any sort of exceptional care put into it. They would just get the beans and roast them very dark so you could kind of get bold flavors out of it. And then they would just serve it that way, right? There was no like four different types of coffee from different regions
right.
prepared different ways. So that's the second wave thing. And a lot of the coffee shops had those like kind of, they were like bohemian type coffee shops with big comfortable couches you could hang out at and philosophize and play chess. And they looked like those Friends, the show.
Yeah.
The coffee shop they all hung out in. A lot of coffee shops looked like that. Those were like second wave coffee shops. Like Psychobabble in LA. Remember that place?
Yeah, Psychobabble. Yeah,
places like that.
With the second wave, which is coffee shops like in Friends, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. Those types of places. And then probably in like the mid to late 90s into the early 2000s, the third wave thing started becoming pretty popular. And there places
the fine coffee.
Yeah, that's like higher end, like artisanal coffee, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So the big places were Counterculture Coffee Roasters that are in the East Coast, Stumptown, which is based in Portland, and Intelligentsia, which is from Chicago.
Intelligentsia, and they're all over now.
Intelligentsia is like, yeah, they have places. They started in Chicago. There's a bunch there. There's three in L.A. They might have an actual storefront.
And so those are less like places to hang out than the Friends-type coffee shops.
Yeah, they're
coffee shops are the ones who have like the books you can just pick up and read one. And
exactly.
Games to play.
Exactly.
It's more about hanging out and the crumpets that come along with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're more like they're more communal. Where
and
you can,
those are second wave or those are third
those
wave?
Those are all like second wave.
But a different style than Starbucks, which is like...
Yeah, the second wave places were less about the quality of coffee and it was more about the atmosphere and like hang out here. Have
but Starbucks wasn't like that, was it? Or was it?
No, Starbucks was not really because... I mean, they have like some couches and they promote that like sit here for a while kind of thing. But they're like a second wave place. They're like
of a different style.
Yeah, they're more of just like a corporate retail version. Yeah. It wasn't like a mom and pop type thing.
I like those places where you just sit down, this couch is there, a different non-matched couch over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like the Unurban.
Yes, Unurban's a classic example.
Because at the back where we'd all go when the show was going on the front, you could talk actually back there. It was a separate room, but you had games and postcards.
Yes.
And fuck, you can get something to eat if you want.
That's a great example of like second wave
coffee
shop.
Have you ever been back there?
Not in years and years.
Is the mic still going there?
I think they still have it.
When we were doing it, nobody called them mics, right?
Mm-mm.
We just called them open mic.
Yeah. I was thinking about that recently, too, where people have dropped the open part.
As if to make themselves glorified.
Or just like, cool, I'm going to hit some mics. I'm like, we never called it
and they're
that.
They're like, what's a mic? And like a microphone. I'm like, well, then I hit mics when
yeah,
I go to the comedy
mics.
Store.
Yeah.
But that's what they're saying, I guess, where they're like, maybe I don't mind it. Because it's like them saying like, yeah, I'm going to get stage time.
Mm-hmm.
Call whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
I'm going to hit
an
microphone.
Open mic. Yeah. I think it's, I mean, there's
but it
more.
It means open mic, though, right?
It means open mic, yeah. But I think it's because of the abbreviation generation thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where they shorten.
Like that started in New York, and then it spread to LA as people came.
Yeah, but younger people, like, abbreviate
they
everything.
All call it, yeah.
So you just drop letters and waste, you know, words that aren't necessary, and people get what you mean. I'm going to hit some mics.
Yeah.
Versus I got a show.
But I like that Unurban. That was a fun one to hang out in.
It's a great place.
Were you drinking coffee back then?
Yeah, yeah. I would have coffee every time I went there. I'd have a cup or two. Like, I like coffee. It just tastes
Painter
good.
Used to fuck some of those open micers in their car while they were waiting for their spots.
I know.
While he was an open micer, too.
Yeah.
He would hook up with people, fuck them in car, and then, like, no,
I think
we
it was
didn't
like
know any.
One or
yeah,
two.
One or two.
But still, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's
one
crazy.
That Carboni ended up dating that refused to admit me, but she admitted Painter.
Oh, yeah. I remember her. That's
I think
right.
He hooked up with her outside the Unurban once.
Yeah, in the parking lot back there.
And
I remember.
Maybe that mom, too. I think he hooked up with that mom that came. Like a redhead, maybe. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't remember that. And there was also like some Asian-ish one that he hooked up with, too, from there.
But I didn't even know he was doing any of that.
He was very secretive because he was shameful about sex. So
shameful
he would never.
His religion.
He would never talk about, like, I banged her.
I totally banged her.
He would lie so far in the opposite direction. We're like, hey, did you sleep with that girl? He's like, I've never met her. It's like, you were just talking to her 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You're texting her right now.
Painter.
So, like, when I was younger, I went to coffee shops. They were, like, cool places to hang out at. You know, yeah. When you're a teenager, you're not going to bars.
I like going to writing sessions at, like, Joy Goring or some shit. And just mm-hmm. meet him at a coffee shop and just, like, just sit there and hang out for a while, talk, write a little bit.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the ones with couches like you're sitting on now.
Yeah.
I like those.
I love that shit.
Do they have any third wave places that's also a hangout like that? Because those all seem very sterile inside.
Yeah, a lot of the third wave places, they specialize more in like the quality of coffee and how they make it, and like a lot of them for some reason are super minimal.
Yeah.
Like you'll go in there and it's just like a coffee bar, and then there's like a few stools, maybe a couple stools out by the window, and then that's kind of it. They don't promote that, like there's no outlets for computers at a lot of places. They close earlier. A lot of the second wave ones open until 10, 11, midnight. A lot of these third wave ones, they close at 5 or 6 p.m.
Because they know nobody's coming here anymore?
Because to them, it's like, no, we're here to serve you a very well-crafted espresso or coffee to have, to enjoy, and then you're off with your day.
Okay.
That's kind of the thing. And they focus way more on the roasting and creating the best cup of coffee. It's kind of like the best comparison you can make with third wave coffee is like wine. So you can go to... Trader Joe's or like a Vons and just get like bottom shelf bullshit wine, yeah. $2 chuck, which doesn't taste bad,
right?
But arguably, you know, Pete's and Starbucks don't taste awful; they're just not that right. good. But then, if you go to Northern California to Napa and you go to like what is considered a great winery and you try really good Pinot Noir, you drink it and you go, "Oh fuck, I can taste like 5 or 6 different flavors in here,"
right?
Versus just the sort of sour grape taste that I would taste at like
at Starbucks,
or at like, or say you go to the Comedy Store and order wine.
Right,
you're not getting good
drunk
wine.
Off wine. I was drinking wine for a little while, and I was like, "I'm gonna get drunk off. I'm gonna drink a bottle of wine tonight." And Edgar was like, "Dude, go to fucking Pink Dot and get one. Don't drink the twist cap shit they have here. You're gonna get sick."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, you're right.
Yeah, it's the quality is not good."
Went down there and hit it, but it was like, "Yeah, for $15." But now, in terms of coffee and the comparison, so mm-hmm. maybe a $4 bottle of wine, $5 bottle of wine is that it's that Starbucks style,
mm-hmm.
And maybe a $25 bottle of wine, $30 bottle of wine, or $40,
yeah,
yeah, is that third wave thing.
Yeah,
what is the $300 bottle of wine? Do they have that equivalent in coffee?
They do. There is a coffee called Geisha, and it's grown in the mountains of somewhere in Central America, Panama. So in the mountains. And it is incredibly hard to grow because of the weather.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to because of where they have to grow it in the mountains. And it's
it
hard
only
to,
grows in that region and stuff?
Only grows in that region. And it's hard to maintain. So like the work involved in going up there and maintaining it and harvesting it. And you can only do it certain times in the year. Makes it very, very rare.
So that drives the price up.
And expensive, yeah.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it.
Is the taste amazing or is it just like different?
It tastes so... so good.
Because some of those things, the price is higher because it's rare, sure. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it's a better quality than something that... like, let's say they suddenly had helicopter access to that place, in and out. So they could really increase how easy it is to take it out. The price would drop, but the quality would be just as good.
The price might drop because you got to consider...
Yeah, let's just say they found a way cheaper way of... like, or
a better
city
place.
Right nearby where they could like really like the cars go... a road was built.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Have to hike down. They could just drive
right.
down.
Right.
The price would drop, but the quality would not change at all.
Sure. Yeah.
So that you think is really good, though?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's great. Now, granted, like someone right now could be listening to this and they don't drink a lot of coffee. They could go into a place where they serve that and I'm going to try it, and then they drink it and go, tastes just like coffee. Coffee in the same way as wine or beer or whiskey and scotch. There, you have to develop your palate. You have to like drink every kind of coffee to right. know the difference between
shitty.
We were
talking about like Cabrillo, like garbage taste people. Like,
right, right,
like
yeah,
rednecks
yeah.
where you're like, I like Bud Light. And you're like, yeah. do you like Bud Light?
Yeah. Or have you not opened your mind and tried fucking Stone IPA or whatever?
When me and Paul Morrissey went to the Heineken experience in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And they took you through it, like what they do and how they brew it and shit. And they give you a little glass and they teach you how to drink it and stuff. And Heineken's a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
Not super like microbrew, but it's still a good solid beer.
Yeah.
They're like, tilt your head back. They're like, let it sit on the edges of your tongue, the left and right. Let it sit there for a minute. Don't guzzle it. Really let the bitterness in your tongue open up.
Right.
And like, yeah, if you don't get that from Bud Light as much.
No, not at all. There's
the flavors,
like
the hops.
There are less like there are less complexities in those kinds of beers because their intention is not to coax all the flavors out of, you know, shitty wine and shitty beer. It's like, let's just make beer the cheapest, quickest, easiest. So the cheaper a thing is, it's because the process involved in making it is a lot.
Same as weed. If you don't keep flushing the weed all the time, you get flushing it, it'll get
the reason why McDonald's burger patties are not that good is because they use the cheapest farms, the cheapest land, and the cows that they are like raising are not put in the best environments. They're eating grass out of land that has been used over and over and over and over again. So even the things that the cows are eating, the quality is not good. They're pumped full of steroids to get them bigger and fatter so you can get more meat out of the cow, and the quality is not good as far as opposed to like free range animals where there aren't pesticides and steroids and hormones put in.
Feed them grain. It's the animal fed that are better for you.
Exactly. The animals may be smaller, but the meat itself is better. So same like thing with coffee. So there's places in like Ethiopia and Kenya.
Ethiopia is a good place for coffee.
It's the origin. It's where coffee originated.
Why? How come? Do you know? Is there like a type of arid region or something that makes?
I think it's the, it's the region. Certain areas in the world are it's easier to grow coffee. And I mean, they probably occurred there too, and like the whatever tribal villages and things like kind of discovered, like, oh, we can like make this and drink it, and we can start trading it.
Do you get when you drink coffee? Is that like it's like an appetite suppressant too, right? A little bit.
Yeah, I think caffeine is supposed to be an appetite.
Do you think that's why Ethiopia started their starvation situation? Because at they just weren't hungry, and then they stopped growing crops. And they're like, oh, fuck, now we don't have any crops.
Yeah, they're like, oh, fuck, dude, we forgot to like start agriculture. Shit.
Got to start agriculture.
Well, let's just keep drinking coffee and see what happens. All right, we're all dying now. So yeah, coffee started there, and so, yeah, those good places they go the extra mile as far as like, we're not just going to buy whatever beans, take them, roast the living shit out of them to get the darkest, boldest flavors, because there's different ways to roast coffee.
Yeah.
So you can look at coffee beans and you can look at one jar and they're very, very dark. And you can look at another jar of coffee and the beans are very light brown. So the roasting, the way you roast the coffee.
Are different for each one?
Yeah. So there's different beans. You start from there.
Is it darker or lighter is better, or is it unrelated, just different?
It's your preference, because some beans can taste better when roasted darker. So Ethiopian beans, for example, are better when the roast is light, because the actual bean...
What do you mean roast is light? What does that mean?
That when they're not roasted to become very dark brown, the actual bean.
Oh, wait. So you get coffee beans and then you cook them?
Yeah. Okay. Here's what, a coffee bean. I should have probably started. A coffee is a fruit, so it's a cherry.
Yeah,
when you are growing coffee, they're grown on trees and they're act like red. They start green, they turn red, so they're coffee cherries.
Yeah.
Then you take them and you peel them, and then there's the bean inside, which is green. And then there's the process of like washing it, which you can either sun dry them or you can put them in like low levels of water, and it like kind of peels off the skin or whatever that's around it that was on the cherry, and then they're washed, and then they're dried, and then you roast them. So all coffee starts green. It starts in a cherry, take it out, the bean is green. And then, or seed or whatever, since it's a fruit. And then they are roasted. Depending on the type of bean, you can roast them either very light, so you can get the flavors that you're supposed to. So like light colored beans will get more like...
That's why coffee tastes kind of like burnt.
Yeah, that's the major problem with Starbucks. Since it takes more time and effort and money
slow roast
to get the specific flavor profiles out of coffee, Starbucks' thing was, we're going to get beans, roast them super
is
dark.
Is that what a blend is? It's just like a bunch of beans?
Yeah, blends is more than one type of thing.
That's shake. In the weed world, that's just shake.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, it's not bad. It's just not.
It's not great.
You can't distinguish what it does.
And when you're over roasting the shit out of everything, what does it matter if you have more than one bean? You're going to roast them all so dark, it just tastes bitter.
Yeah.
But to them, it's like, well, it's still better than McDonald's and all this other shit. And we're in every location in every city, and we're fucking $2 or
$2.50. Maybe I should try a light roasted thing, because that bitterness is too much for me.
Yeah.
I prefer that too. Like, ugh.
I prefer the lighter roasted stuff. Now, The lighter roast usually means more caffeine because it hasn't been roasted out of there, you know?
Oh, they roast the caffeine out?
Kind. I mean, I don't know the exact science behind it, but I know lighter roasts usually still have more caffeine in them versus the darker ones. So lighter roast coffees from like Ethiopia and Kenya and Panama and stuff, the flavors you get are way like fruitier and more like floral.
Yeah.
So you can drink like a really well-made cup of coffee. You can drink it and almost – it tastes like you're drinking a bowl of fruit in a way. It almost tastes like tea in some cases. When you're drinking it, you can like taste strawberry or blueberry mixed in with coffee. And the subtleties are like, when it's done right, you take a sip and you're just like, I've never had a fucking cup of coffee
like this.
Do you
put like that in the sides of your tongue too?
No. I mean, you just kind of sip it slow and let it like let it slide back. You don't sit there and swish it around like wine or anything like that, but it just takes a while. Once you try different coffees, you figure out, you just pay attention to the flavors.
And to what you like.
Yeah.
Is there a universal better or worst, or really does it come down to taste?
Yeah, it comes down to taste, because like a lot of people prefer, when you, like the place we went to today, we went to Victrola.
Victrola, yeah.
In Capitol Hill.
Victrola.
I don't know why I keep doing that. I don't know the song that it goes with.
What do you mean, really? Baruch Salt, isn't it?
I don't know.
Nick, here's my problem.
Yeah.
So we just found out that Starbucks started March 30th, 1971.
Sure.
And March 30th this year falls on a Monday.
Okay.
What does that mean? I will release this, since I release them all on Mondays, on March 30th.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, whatever you want.
It's not a very... If it was like the 25th anniversary of Starbucks, I'd be like, we'd have to.
Yeah.
But it'd be like... The 44th anniversary.
Wow, already. That's crazy. So yeah, when we went to that place, they had two different offerings for pour-overs. And most places have that, where they'll have the one offering, which is the lighter, floral, fruitier one. And then they'll have the other one, which is the darker, chocolatier, denser one. So you have kind of the choice. But when people don't know anything about coffee, they just go in. I do. So yeah, Victrola, because that was the name of the one of the early record players.
Yeah. Why is this? It's coffee, though. Anyway.
So they Victrola just call
coffee.
It, they just
what did
call
they use? Victrola coffee.
They use, I think they're a coffee roaster. So they use their own beans that they buy from parts of, you know, wherever. I don't know. Like,
and they go and say, we would like to buy some of your beans.
Yeah.
We're going to have them.
So they had one from Kenya. Uh-huh. So there's different coffee farms in Kenya. And a lot of these coffee
they have
roasters.
Giant machines. Are those the roasters? Those giant machines?
That's a roasting machine, yeah.
And so they said it like takes time to roast in dark or light or whatever?
You don't
just,
so
like,
you
flash fry them.
You calibrate the machine to how dark or light I think you want to do it. And then they're roasted, they're heated, and then they're put in that thing that spins them around, you know?
Yeah.
And you can kind of see while you're roasting them, they have this thing that you put in and then you can pull out, and it pulls out like, you know, 10 beans. So you can kind of see where they're at and you put it back in. And so these coffee places... That is also what goes into the price. Is like they get the they have their own roasting machines.
Yeah,
you know, so they don't outsource it to some other company that just does it and then sends them these beans, which by then could be days or weeks old. These places will roast their own coffee, and the bags that you can buy are all stamped with roasted on, and it'll be like 4 days ago.
Oh, really?
Because coffee's the best within like a week of you opening the bag, because when it hits the air, they start becoming stale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's so many little things.
But the bag, doesn't the bag take air in, or is that airtight?
No, the bags will be like sealed, but once you open the bag and you start using a little bit.
The clock started.
The clock has started, yeah.
Oh.
So the best way to get the best cup of coffee is you buy beans that were roasted like fucking 2 days ago or whatever. You take it home, whole bean. You take out just enough to make your cup. You grind it at home.
Ziploc it back again, or is it too late? The clock is still going.
You just put it in like an airtight thing, and that'll preserve the life. Then you grind the beans right then and there, because they're at their freshest when they're ground right there.
Folgers is already ground up and given to you in a jar.
Yeah, it's in a fucking thing out there for months or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And then you make the coffee however you want. Wow. You can make it in like a drip thing. You can do a pour over with the kettle.
If I gave you two cups of coffee with the same bean, with the same roasted bean, take them out of the same jar, you know, from 2 days or four, whatever it is, but the same one.
Yeah.
and I slow dripped one and made one the Starbucks way, another one. Could you tell a difference in a blind taste test?
Yeah, if one was made slow drip and one was made in a like a drip machine or like a just any other method, French press, for example, I could tell the difference.
You could tell. Yeah. Same exact bean, like take
same bean,
twice and be like here,
because
here.
The way they're because the way it is brewed. So a French press, and there's another thing called a clever dripper.
Yeah.
They both use immersion, full immersion brewing like tea.
Yeah.
So you put the coffee in the French press, and then you put water in, stir it around, and then you let it sit there. It's fully immersed, and you know,
right.
And you let it sit for 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's
and,
how tea is.
Yeah, and then you press it down. And what that does is the coffee is just sitting in the water, so it becomes like very bold and flavorful because it's just absorbing all those
the water
beans.
Is absorbing it all.
Yeah. Slow drip or pour over or
that's
hand
all I gotta
drip.
Do that today. Very slowly working it around all the beans. Like the thinnest like drops coming out. Like the thinnest like pour.
In each loop the water you get more. It takes 4 minutes total to do that, the slow drip. So that method, the water is going through it as opposed to sitting
in it. So it just grabs a touch of the flavor and then moves on.
Yes. It goes
and then
through,
goes in your cup.
Yeah. It goes through the beans. So you get and depending on how much coffee
is in there.
Wouldn't
that not release all the flavors?
No, it's just if you do it right, it gets just enough. So you don't get too much. Because if you leave a French press, if you leave coffee in a French press for like 5, 6, 7 minutes and you forget, you're about to taste the most bitter cup of coffee you've ever had. But with slow drip, if you just run the water like super fast in like 1 minute's time, you look at the coffee and it'll be like see-through brown. But if you do it just right in 4 minutes, it will be the perfect color. And the perfect amount of water has gone through in the perfect amount of time where you can get the exact flavors you're looking for.
Wow. And you don't put milk in that shit.
Never.
Does anyone?
Some people do.
If someone is at one of those third wave coffee places and puts milk in it, does everyone turn and go, ugh?
There was a place in downtown in the Arts District called Handsome Coffee.
Yeah.
And they were like a roaster. They made excellent coffee.
Yeah.
But people I met, when they go, oh, you're into that like, you know, crazy weird coffee. And I go, yeah. Have you ever been a Handsome Roaster? I'm like, yeah, I tried that the other day. Fuck that place. They don't even have sugar.
Right.
They did not carry sugar in the place because they believe they make coffee. They're gone now. They were bought out by another place. They sold themselves to another place. Because they believe, like, look, we're making coffee and we are making it really good and we want you to appreciate and like the way it is made.
Yeah.
So we think
it's like not having ketchup at a fine restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask for something, they'd be like, what? It took me 7 hours to make this.
Whatever. And you want to douse it in ketchup.
That's why they have A1 steak sauce at like Norm's.
But right.
They ain't going to have that at a fine place.
Not at Mastro's. Like,
we can find some from the back. If you are really willing to go through with this,
yeah,
then I can look for you.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be like putting fucking water in your wine or like really, really good scotch. And you're like, yeah, I'm going
to
put like.
When we went to Fogo the other day and I asked that guy for some chard. I was like, you know what? He's like, how do you want it? I was like, give me the char on there. Give me the really the burnt kind. My dad used to make T-bones. The guy kind of went like, and then like served to me. And it wasn't that good. It was, there was no juiciness left to it and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, man. For them, that's what Freddie Soto told me. Because I ordered something like medium well.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Bully's. Remember Bully's? That steak restaurant in San Diego?
No.
On the way to like the store.
I've never been.
Freddie loved it. Freddie, if you told Freddie like, hey, you want to go to Bully's right now?
He'd just get in the car.
Like, let's go. If you want to do it, let's go.
Yeah.
He paid for us a couple times. That place where Oshak said Mitzi took everybody out.
Oh, really?
And he's like, see, she's really generous. But then he had to sneak back in and pay a tip because she put up so little. I think I forgot my coat. You're wearing a coat. Different coat.
Yeah.
Go back in there and tip extra. But I ordered like medium well there. He goes, dude, this ain't Denny's, bro. This is a fine cut of steak.
Yeah.
That's a gone now.
That's a good example. At Denny's, you go, I'm going to go overdone because the quality is going to be shit. But at Mastro's or STK or Cut, you're like, they're going to do a really good rare steak.
Right.
The stuff, the rub they put on, it's every bite's going to be perfection.
You know where I start ordering now? Because I do like that char. Because a part of me, I heard this chef talking once on NPR. And he was saying how memory takes a place in taste.
Yeah.
It's part of it. And,
and art and
his
stuff
example
like that,
was, I might have said this on the podcast before, I don't care, but like his example, I want to find out who this chef was. I should interview him. But like his example was, his dad used to cook him eggs and he'd burn the shit out of them, scrambled eggs, and really get them all dry. But he'd make it for him every Sunday, and he fucking loved it. It was dad's eggs. And then one day he went to his aunt's house in some other town, and he was staying with her, and she was into like cooking a little bit. And she hand-churned her butter, and she made these scrambled eggs real light and still kind of runny and like just fluffy with this butter. And he was like, he said he ate it, and he couldn't imagine food tasting that good.
Yeah.
He never had any concept of that. And that's what really got him into being a chef.
Yeah.
And he goes, then I started learning how to cook from the best masters in the world and learning my craft and stuff. He goes, but when I go visit my parents, I still enjoy my dad's eggs.
Yeah.
Because I liked them when I was 9.
Dude, there's a lot to say about nostalgia playing a factor in the things that you like. Even like we were talking about shitty music earlier.
Yeah.
You can hear
it. It's in you.
You can hear shit from the night. Yeah. The Offspring are not great.
That's what I'm saying to people about what's Sublime now. Guys, it's done. That time in music is done, and it's shitty music now. You only like it because you remember it.
Yeah, I do. When I hear Sublime, I think about being a teenager, going to the beach, fucking the crush on that girl I had. It just takes you back and makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like that. That's what it's there for.
Yeah. But anyway, I found out how to order and not get my eyes rolled at. It's either Kansas City or Chicago style. It's like they cook it however, and they just quickly char the outside.
Right.
To get the outside that crisp, but the inside is still like that light pink or whatever. I think Kansas City style.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And then when I order it like that, people go, yes, sir. And they're just like, they don't roll my eyes.
Right. Anyway. But yeah, same thing with like with coffee. When people like go into these third wave places and like they go, the baristas or whatever were rude or they were dismissive. And it's like, I mean, if you went in there going like, what kind of coffee is this? If you were having an attitude about the thing that they put so much time into as opposed to going.
That's why they have attitudes, you think?
Oh, yeah. Some of the times, yeah.
It's brought on by the customer.
Sometimes. And sometimes like some baristas or whatever or any place you go to where they do a specialty thing and you walk in there going, well, I don't know what's going on. They could have an arrogance to them. So sometimes it's their fault. They could be like, oh, this tourist doesn't know what's up.
Yeah. But like, sometimes like High Fidelity.
Exactly.
I don't want you in here. No, you don't want that fucking song. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah. There are those people. That's why that character existed, because there are record store snobs and shit. But sometimes people walk in and go, what kind of weird-ass coffee is this? Or they have that attitude where, because of insecurity, they're being defensive and writing it off.
You're like, I don't know, man. They're behind the counter going, I worked really hard making a really good solid cup of it. So don't have it.
Yeah.
We're just sitting here.
Go in with an open mind. Be like, this is all new to me. What do you guys do? Oh, we do this and that. And you know what?
People would be nicer if you did that?
Dude, you have no idea how many times I've gone into coffee shops where I'm like, oh, I don't know this method of coffee you use. They go, oh, dude.
And they love talking about it.
Yeah, what's it all about? I went to Intelligentsia once when I first got the setup required to do slow drip. I went into Intelligentsia, which is probably...
You got it for home?
For home, yeah. It's like a little cone thing. It's like $20. And you guys just got to get the beans in like a grinder.
And it does that thing.
Yeah, and you get a kettle.
What's
and
the point of that? To go all the way around like that?
The way it like goes down, it like controls the speed as opposed to it just falling straight through. Like you do it in a circle and it's
The glass tubes that are like shaped circularly so the water drips like this. And then
those massive ones?
Yeah.
Those are for cold brew. Oh. So cold brew coffee is like a new kind of thing too. I mean, not new, but it's been around for a few years. But so normally iced coffee is like just regular. They brew coffee in a drip machine, put it in a cup, dump a bunch of ice in it.
Yeah.
But then it waters it down. It's not that good. Cold brew, they take coffee and they slow drip it over a period of 24 hours. So it's literally like little tiny drops through all the coffee beans over a 24-hour period. So it goes through so slow that it captures so much of the coffee, and by the time it gets down there, it's so thick and syrupy, it's like a port wine. And then you put that over ice, and even if the ice starts to melt a little, it's so thick and so creamy and syrupy, you get flavors where you're like, there's no way this is coffee. Like, what
really?
Is this? Yeah, it's incredibly
good. Cold brew,
I like it a lot.
You ever take cold brew and then heat it up?
Never done that. No. But yeah, I used to never, ever, ever, ever drink iced coffee because I'm like, it just waters down hot coffee. What's the fucking point?
Does coffee suck when it gets cold?
Yeah, well, good, really good pour overs and stuff like that, they have a certain taste when they're just made because they're very hot. But as they're cooling down and heading towards room temperature, you start to taste different flavors out of them.
Oh, really?
You're not tasting the heat as much, and like certain flavors start to come out more. They almost taste, the lighter roast tastes like a little fruitier.
Interesting. That sounds really like full of flavor then.
They really, really can be. Like that geisha. I mean, really good geisha coffee, you can pay more than $10 a cup for it.
What's a great cheap coffee?
A great cheap
coffee. Like that Charles Shaw wine was like the best of the cheap wines.
If you go to places like, there's certain coffee roasters like Stumptown. I don't know if Victrola had it, but there's certain coffee bars you can go to. Like, say, let's just use Stumptown because they're at a lot of places now. They do a drip coffee. It's just a brewed coffee in like a big vat. But they use good beans, and they'll just do like a brewed coffee where you can order it and they'll pump it out of a thing. And those are usually cheap. They can be like $3.
Yeah.
And that their coffee, just because the bean quality is so good, that'll be a really good cup of coffee. It'll taste better than coffee bean in Starbucks. It'll just be better.
And it's not that expensive?
No, it's like, I mean, it depends on what you consider. If you are used to going to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts and getting coffee and it's like $1.15 or $1.80, you're going to look at a $3 cup of coffee and be like, fuck you, that's crazy
expensive.
That's
how much Starbucks coffee is.
Yeah, Starbucks, I think, yeah. But I think you can get a small maybe for like $1.80, $2.
Oh, really?
But dude, throw in an extra dollar and the 30, 45 minutes you spend sipping that coffee on the way
to
work.
That's what I tell everybody from New York about fucking toilet paper. They all buy that bodega toilet paper, the Scott tissue.
Right.
Scott tissue. Yeah. And it's like, dude, it's fucking rough as shit.
Paper thin.
That's why everybody's so mean in New York. It's just like,
yeah.
And I told Edgar that when he was using my apartment in LA, when he was living there. They're going to put a fucking billboard. This is not happening. A billboard in front of it.
You told me that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
One right in front of my old window.
Also a good Pennywise album. Full circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to make fun of you, but that's just Creed. It's just Creed. Let's limit it to what should be mocked.
Yeah. It's fortunate for me that my taste in music is so overwhelmingly refined and amazing that I can have a couple shitty bands. I like ABBA. I like
Saying ABBA as if it's going to make people forget that you love Creed.
No, I want people to remember that I used to like Creed.
That you currently love Creed.
Please remember that I used to like them.
Love them.
You take from the bad, that's what makes you good. Trial and error.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of Nick. Facts of Nick. What's the difference between... Okay, for those third wave coffee places.
Mm-hmm.
Can any of those have the fucking casual atmosphere and get a bunch of couches and fucking put them around? I mean, there's even second floor in some of the ones I saw today with you where it's like, there's room enough here to make it really homey. Put a fireplace in.
Yeah, I really honestly don't know where that started, where like all these third wave places were going to become super minimal.
So
like,
rigid. Even the one you took me to in New York, in LA. I mean, in San Francisco when we did Outside Lands.
Sight Glass, probably.
Yeah, so like, is this here?
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. That whole like, we don't want you to stay attitude, where it's like, this is just
cup. Like German,
it.
Like beaten, that kind of like, you know, that 80s fucking, what was that Saturday Night Live sketch with those Germans?
Oh, I forget.
I am Unter.
Yeah, I forget what they're called.
All wearing black, and like, that's what I picture for these places, black turtlenecks and fucking.
Yeah. You almost feel like you're like, am I in a Swedish design center? Like, where am I right now? Yeah. Everything's just sharp angles, flat wood, everything's light colored wood. It's very like, the atmosphere is very like, please take this great cup of coffee and be on your way.
You ever met any girls at coffee shops that you've ended up hooking up with?
Not that I've hooked up with, but I've met a lot of... I mean, those people are involved in such a super specific thing that if you show any genuine interest... Like the intelligentsia thing I was going to finish telling you about.
Yeah.
I went in there. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for like your cheapest bag of coffee. And they're like... Oh, and she thought it was weird that I asked that specific thing. She's like, well, what is it for? I'm like, well, I just got the pour over set up and I'm going to learn how to do it. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, so I don't want to really get the expensive stuff and like fuck it up because I won't even know what I'm tasting anyway. She's like, oh, that's so awesome. You know what? Hold on a second. She goes into the back, comes out with a bag of coffee, and she goes, this is the stuff that we don't leave out on the shelves after a certain period because our standard for coffee is...
But this is still fine.
Yeah, we roast it, but if it's after, I think it was like 10 or 12 or 14 days, if no one's bought it, we take it to the back, bring out fresh, newer coffee. But it's not that it's bad coffee at that point, but it's just not up to our standards to sell. So what they do, the employees take that home and they can use it and do whatever they want. So she's like, it's just going to sit there and we're going to take it home. So she's like, I think it's cool that you're learning how to do this. This is on us.
Really?
$17, $18 bag of coffee.
Wow. Here.
And I go, are you serious? She's like, yeah. And she goes, you know what? Fuck it. Hold on. Goes into the back again, comes out with another bag. I got like $35 worth of coffee beans.
Wow.
Just because I was like, I'm super into coffee and I want to learn how to do this.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
I asked once when I started smoking, stopped smoking cigarettes and started smoking more weed.
Yeah.
To like, I need to smoke something, that hand to mouth thing. Yeah. You know? And I went and asked, like, what's your weakest weed? I want to write, but I'm used to smoking entire cigarettes when I write.
Right.
I want something that won't, like, wreck me, but I could smoke a whole joint.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we have that. Absolutely. And they came back and rolled up a bunch.
Yeah.
Just super cheap, like $3 a joint or something.
Yeah. That's what's cool about those things.
People that care. Small mom and pop places care.
But it's also like the community within that. Like the cycling world has that same kind of thing. Coffee. Anything you can kind of nerd
there
out on.
Do you see the same people and make friends the way that everybody used to at like Fred 66, Fred 62s, whatever it's called? Fred 69s? No.
Fred 62,
Fred 62, everyone knew some of the waitresses there when we went there a lot. Is it that community kind of too with these third wave coffee shops?
It's a lot like that. You go there
definitely
a lot.
Not a Starbucks, I'm sure.
No. Starbucks is corporate.
Burn and turn.
Yeah. They don't. Sometimes like, oh, you go there a lot, they'll remember you. But it's like, these are just people that are like, I needed a fucking job.
I mean, also other people that are hanging out at those coffee shops.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get like, they'll
like
be like
regulars where you become like friendly. Like that coffee shop we did that open mic where Ari David just dropped N-bombs for fucking 7 straight minutes. It was like a AA place to hang out.
And oh, Top Fuel?
Yeah, and eventually the owner relapsed, so everybody just stopped
going
there.
Top Fuel, where we ran that show on Saturdays. Yeah. Yeah.
But the people that go to Top Fuel ended up knowing each other from going to Top Fuel all the time.
Right, right. They have that, yeah, at those types of places, because there's people that do, it's like a neighborhood thing. You know, mm-hmm. You go there every morning, you end up seeing the same people, and you kind
of
talk.
Are you welcomed into any of those places, or no?
Yeah, I go to a few where, like, people remember who you are. Like, okay, there was a place, that Handsome Coffee place, when that used to be a place. I would go there enough, and then one day I was like, you know what, I go to this place a lot, and I was raising money for that bike ride I did.
I'm going to Yelp them. I'm going to give back to the community. I'm going to Yelp them.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
So I went in there, and I was like, hey, I'm doing this bike ride for charity, and I think it would be like cool if you guys, you know, donated. You're all about the community, whatever. They gave me a little portable AeroPress coffee maker.
To take with you?
To take with me. A bag of coffee and a t-shirt. And they're like, now you have coffee for your whole trip, your whole ride.
And you spit it in their face that I want money.
I was like, fuck you. I want cash, bitch. Yeah.
Trying to raise money for some shit.
But I was like, how fucking cool are you guys? And that kind of shit. Intelligentsia, that place is probably the most made fun of coffee shop because of the clientele. It's douchey.
Maybe the names, too. Maybe the name Intelligentsia makes
maybe,
it seem
like
they think they're better than you.
They wear suspenders and they have weird looking things.
Oh, really?
But you know what? It's like, if you go in there and you're cool and you got an open mind and you're like, you know, everyone just, for some reason, everyone loves these coffee places, teach me.
It's so easy to judge other people. We're like, they think they're better than me. Like, no, they are better than you at knowing coffee.
Yeah.
So just go get their expertise instead of acting like you know better than what they do every day of their lives.
Yeah. What are you getting out of just being like, oh, there's a thing I don't understand. I'm going to have a closed mind and judge the shit out of it.
Coors Light is fine with me. I don't have to try.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It won awards. I don't have to try it to know I love Coors Light. Like, all right, man.
Yeah, if you're like that with everything that you don't understand, you're not going to be an interesting person.
Yeah. Yeah. Open up. What's the difference between espresso and coffee?
Espresso is, I mean, they both use like...
Hold on, before you tell me that. Is espresso a thing or is that just the way
it's people
trash
mispronouncing
people talk? Okay. People say espresso, that's...
Espresso, yeah.
Okay. I thought that, but I don't know that world enough at all to correct anybody.
Right.
But I want to be like, you're just saying nothing. That's not a word. That's like saying vegetables.
Yeah. They're taking the word express. They go, oh, because it's quicker and easier.
Fast.
Espresso.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, espresso. Because it's fucking Italian or whatever the hell. That is, I mean, they're using coffee beans, but the process is just different. They're put in these little, I can't remember the name of it, but they're like stamped down in a little espresso, whatever you call it, and then they're put into the espresso machine, and then water is shot through at, like, I think it's probably 20-something seconds. It goes through the I can't remember the name of it, but, like, through the espresso fucking grinder hold or whatever. And the way it comes out is super, like, condensed and strong and, like, flavorful. But, like, yeah. Again, really good espresso. You can take a fucking – it's a two-sip thing, but you can take a sip and taste, like, a world of fucking flavor in there. Or you can go to Starbucks and get espresso there, and it's just going to taste like, oh, this shot of bitterness I just put in my mouth. Great. Thanks for nothing.
Right, right, right. It is like that, just bitter. Just a shot of bitter.
Just
it's super
bitter.
Caffeinated. That's why it's smaller.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's like a misconception.
Starbucks espresso is just bitter garbage, like you would dislike it.
I've had it, and I'm like, no, it doesn't taste good. Especially once you try really good espresso.
Not as good or just not good?
To me, it's not good. It just tastes bitter.
Like that fucking cauliflower whatever we got out last night.
Yeah, yeah. It was just
uncooked
bland.
Cauliflower. It wasn't even like, you'd think it'd be like softer. It was still hard.
It was cauliflower gratin where you're
and
oh,
the
it'll
gratin
be like,
was like tasteless.
Yeah, it just tasted like whipped fucking.
That didn't taste bad. That just tastes like nothing.
Yeah, it was just very bland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, good espresso. I think people think like, oh, espresso is like, it's all super packed in, so there's way more caffeine. But with brewed coffee, depending on how much coffee you put in the filter, coffee, a cup of coffee can be way stronger than a shot or even two shots of espresso. Like Starbucks coffee, I don't know if this is still true.
Because
but
when the water trickles through a coffee bean, it doesn't just trickle through one coffee bean, it trickles through nine of them.
Yeah, it trickles through like, you know,
12 of them,
25
whatever.
Grams of
right.
coffee. So if you make a cup of coffee and you use 12 grams and then you filter the water through, it's going to be sort of strong. But if you use 25 grams and you filter all that water through, it's going to be twice as strong. So for a while, a cup of Starbucks coffee had more caffeine than a shot or even two shots.
Wow.
I don't know if that's still true, but I remember reading that a while back. And but when you think about the process it takes to make coffee, you're like, oh, of course it would be. It went through more coffee to get into the cup. Of course, it's going to absorb more caffeine and more flavor, provided it's like, you know, done right.
When you guys are at your third world coffee place,
third wave
coffee place from the third world, do you all mock Starbucks together? Do you get into conversations mocking Starbucks?
No, I've never really heard. Because, I mean, those people don't care. They just, it's not even, it doesn't register to them. They're too busy being in their own coffee world.
Oh, so they don't even talk about it.
No, they don't go like.
It's like me when some like YouTube person is on the improv and like, how do you feel about that? I'm like, I don't care. That's nothing
you're
to
like,
do with me.
I've never watched any of their video. They're not comedians. It's not. What,
it's all right. That's just the improv being closed this week.
Yeah. Why would I waste my fucking time?
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, someone will be like, if someone wants a cup of coffee made this way, or they go, oh, do you guys have any like syrups you can put in? They go, look, man, like we do coffee like this here, and like this is kind of our specialty and how we believe coffee should be made. If you want that kind of coffee, there's a Starbucks like, you know, half a mile down the road. And enjoy.
Are there any places that do tea like that that really care about tea?
Yeah, there's a place in San Francisco.
In Pasadena that have really good ones. Where is San Francisco?
I can't remember the name. I'll find out for you. It's in the Mission District, a few blocks down from Four Barrel, that one place we went to.
Oh yeah!
When we left Outside Lands, it's like a few
blocks.
Do you
like that
in.
Place because you miss the missions you used to go on for the Iranian people?
Stupid! I like that the nationality changes every time.
It'll are like, you? Or are you not part of ISIS?
Saudi.
Keep avoiding the question.
Iranian.
Keep avoiding the question.
No, I'm a fan. I was a fan of the metal band ISIS years ago.
Is there a metal band ISIS?
There is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they sound like?
It's some fucking metal band.
What's their best song? I'll close with that.
It's That's one of their hits. Yeah, I don't know if they're still around. I think I saw them open for Tool once, but that might have been Meshuggah.
Meshuggah. Do you know where Meshuggah comes from?
They're a Swedish metal band, Meshuggah.
Meshuggah is like crazy in Yiddish.
Oh, yeah, that's a good name for a band then.
And people say Meshuggah too. It's like short for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a good band name. What was I going to say about coffee? What's like the most overrated coffee?
The most
too expensive and you don't get enough in return.
That's a good question.
As like a connoisseur, but like stay away from this. They're just charged. It's like the fucking where Jarrett used to work. Where did he used to work at that pot place?
I don't know.
The pharmacy?
Maybe
the pharmacy, but it's like they have $75 and $70 eighths, and you're like, better quality, right? Like, no. It wasn't terrible. It was just good. They're right. selling $55 eighths for 70.
Wow.
In West Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't know if any of those like third wave places, a lot of them aren't even big enough to be overrated. I think maybe Stump Town's getting to the point where it's like, it's maybe it's not like the best.
Yeah.
And some of what you're buying may be a little too much, but I don't really know that much about that end of it to know what's kind of overrated. But I mean, I would say if you're going to – say you're one of those people where you're like, I don't even fucking know where a third wave place is, or you live in an area where there aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, like a Pete's Coffee, if you live in areas where there's a Pete's, out of like the Coffee Bean, Starbucks, Pete's is the best.
Pete's is the best.
Yeah. The coffee, the quality's good. A regular cup of coffee tastes good. Like they were one of the originals and like they're – yeah, they still make good coffee.
Are there certain towns that are like coffee towns?
Yeah, Seattle is a good coffee town. Portland's a great coffee town.
And just
town.
Everyone talks about it. There's more coffees around. It's just a thing that in the zeitgeist of the city and shit.
Oh, yeah. You can like the kind of places we're talking about, you can walk anywhere around Seattle.
And is it like the way you're talking about like some cities, if you do a joke about bicyclists, no one even gets it because like in LA, like what? No one even does that. But yeah. In other towns like New York or like Seattle, people like get it more. Either they'll be one side or the other of it, but they'll get it more.
Yeah, they'll get
like
way
if
more.
You reference, hey, where's like a good cup of coffee, or people can tell you in a place like this.
Yeah, like
as
that.
Opposed to.
I don't know if you saw the bit I've been doing about coffee.
Yeah.
But it's a whole thing where like part of the references and the punchlines involve that like douchey hipster guys with kettles uh-huh. and talking about where coffee comes from and like – and doing those bits in like San Francisco, say, where I just was, I mean, they were going so great. Everyone got every line because those places are everywhere and it's part of the culture.
You ever see the South Park thing about smelling your own farts?
No.
You think you're so special your shit don't stink?
Yeah.
And so they all buy Priuses and then they move to San Francisco where their shit doesn't stink. And then every time they fart, like, oh, hold on, I just farted. And they turn around and like ah.
That's
they just
fine.
Love smelling their own farts.
That's hilarious. But yeah, there's some cities. New York is like that. There's a big coffee scene there. San Francisco, Portland. LA's coffee scene is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. It's gotten way, way better. I mean, there's a Stump Town there. There's a Blue Bottle, which is from San Francisco. Intelligentsia.
What about
been
the
there.
Place behind, right up the street and around the corner from Fred 62's?
Up the street?
Right around the corner from the 7-Eleven there. You know, if you keep going up past Palermo's, then you make a right at 7-Eleven. There was a coffee shop right there.
That's where Psycho Babble was.
Psycho Babble. Oh, that was
there. Yeah, but now that's a third wave place. It's called Brew, BRU.
How's that?
It's pretty good. They use Ritual coffee, which is from San Francisco, too.
Which is what the Jews used to use for their matzah bread. And they would take the blood of the baby non-Jews, and they put a drop of it inside their recipes for matzah.
Also, on weekends, they would kill babies, right? Just for fun?
For fun, when they had more power.
Yeah, yeah.
In the powerful days. When they right about to be a pogrom, they'd kind of cool it.
Yeah.
Babies? What? We haven't had babies here in months.
About?
I mean, years.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never had babies here.
It's been days, hours. No, never. We've never killed.
I'm getting hungry.
Ritual Roasters is good. There's a lot of places now, too, where because of these third wave places, like you don't – people can open a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And use beans from other roasters that aren't the major ones like Starbucks and Coffee Bean and stuff, because a lot of places can't just open a coffee shop and ask Starbucks to use their coffee. They'd be like, no, we're going to open a Starbucks here.
Right.
But a lot of these like newer spots, they're not all coffee roasters. It's just a coffee shop and they open like –
and they decide, we like this coffee bean. We're going to get this coffee bean. We're just going to use it.
Yeah. There's a place in Silver Lake, a newer coffee shop, 4 or 5 months old. It's called Dinosaur Coffee.
Yeah.
And they're a coffee shop, but they don't make their own coffee. They use 4Barrel, which is from San Francisco. So they talk to 4Barrel, like, we want to open a coffee shop. We'd like to open an account with you and use your coffee. And then they do.
Right.
So you can go there and you can get well-made quality coffee.
If you don't drink coffee, how long do you have to not drink coffee for before you start getting the shakes?
If I don't have a cup of coffee for 5 or 6 hours after I wake up, I'll start getting a headache. Caffeine headache. But then again, I'm like, people go like, well, if you drink too much coffee, you're going to get a headache. I'm like, well, I'll just drink coffee then.
And cover up the headache.
Yeah. And it'll taste delicious and it's not bad for me. Why are you talking?
It's not bad for you, all the caffeine?
No. Well, I don't go crazy. I don't have like 5 cups a day.
If you have a cup of coffee, if you wake up, let's say you're flying, you wake up at like 7:30 and you get a cup of coffee at the airport at 8:30.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to have another cup of coffee that day?
Yeah, I usually will around like 2, 3, 4 p.m.
Right. Can you sleep when you've had coffee? You just have a cup of coffee at like midnight. Can you sleep or no?
I rarely have it that late, but I've had it at like 9 or 10 p.m. before. And then, and sometimes it depends on how much I've had throughout the day. I'll be like pretty jittery still and awake, but I won't be able to go to sleep. But I don't go to sleep till 3 or 4 anyway.
Right, right, right. Dude, I don't drink. Since I learned that caffeine fucks up your throat, your voice sometimes, I just cut it out.
Really?
I've had it like 5 times in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Only when I don't have nothing to tape and no long road weekends coming up.
Yeah.
I was losing my voice every Saturday. It was like, couldn't even get through the weekend. But like...
Wow.
But like, now if I have any caffeine, it's like...
Yeah, yeah! Your tolerance went down.
My butthole. What?
Your tolerance went down. Yeah, it's like any other drug, you know, like you build up a tolerance and your body relies on it. If you don't have it, you start getting tired or you get a headache and... But as far as drugs go, it's good for you. There's like studies are like coffee's good for you.
Yeah.
Just don't go crazy with like anything
else.
You
think coffee's good for you?
Yeah.
Coffee's good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. People get addicted to the headache. That's a sign of withdrawal.
Yeah. But
Rogan
I mean,
did that, tried to quit coffee. He said he got terrible migraines.
Yeah.
Like, what does that teach you? He's like, don't quit coffee.
Yeah, drink coffee.
Yeah.
It's not like, whoa, you're going to get withdrawals. It's like, yeah, but I'm not using crack. It's not wasting my body away. It's just not giving me a boost of energy.
How long would you have those headaches for? Let's say you were camping or something, or got strength. Like, you don't, how long until those headaches would go away?
I mean, I would have it maybe for like the rest of the day to some degree.
And the next day you wouldn't feel any.
It would be like gone, yeah.
Would you get it again the next day?
I don't know, because I can't remember the last time I've gone more than like a day without coffee.
Wow.
Because it's just...
You ever put booze in your coffee before you were sober?
No.
That's a weird one. People like drop some like shit. Yeah. That's like a stereotype from movies.
I was never that kind of drinker, dude. I never was
Irish
like,
coffee? Is that what they called it?
Yeah, Irish coffee.
Wow. That's like, dude, you're just waking up.
Yeah, I was never that kind of drinker.
Did you see that... who's the guy from Fear and Loathing? The guy who wrote it?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Did you see that thing of like his day?
I remember that.
3 p.m. Wake. 3:05. Glenn Livett.
Yeah.
3:10. Cigarette. Dunhill. Yeah. Coffee. 3:15. Cocaine.
it's just like, dude, you were living that life for
8
real.
8 a.m. then sleep.
Yeah. I know.
And he didn't die of that. He died from suicide.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. That guy like...
Start to finish, that guy did it.
Yeah. He did it for... He was a fucking renegade in
original,
every possible
way. Original, non-faker.
Yeah.
Start to finish. See you later.
Yeah. And even the way he went out, he's like, fuck it. I'm offing myself with one of my favorite guns.
Are there any good Nirvana songs that I can play for this podcast that have anything to do with coffee?
Not that I know of.
That would be perfect.
Not that I know of, no.
Is there anything about fighting in a Nirvana song?
Not for Nirvana. What's another fucking Seattle band?
Mudhoney?
Soundgarden?
Yeah, what
something
they
by Soundgarden. You can play My Wave or... Dude, you know what? One of my favorite fucking Soundgarden songs that never got...
Spoon Man?
No. It never got... Now I can't remember what it's called, motherfucker. It was on...
just Google that song, that Soundgarden song Nick can't remember.
Yeah, Siri, the Soundgarden song I don't know. Why don't you know it?
It was on what?
It was on their last album.
Their last album?
Yeah, Down on the Upside.
Oh, that.
No, before they retired and came back. Soundgarden. Why am I blanking on the name?
Down on the Upside, full album. Here we go.
Zero Chance.
Zero Chance?
Yeah. That song is so fucking good to me.
Really?
Yeah. And it...
What's it about? Well...
I don't know. To me, every song I hear is about like broken love or a lost relationship or whatever. Everything, I can always find a way to make it about that.
Right.
But yeah, that album had Pretty News, Blow Up the Outside World, Burden in My Hand. But Zero Chance to me was so fucking good, and it never got any play.
Zero Chance song meaning. Let's see what this says. Songmeanings.com.
I always question those. It's like, was that just some dude who was like, here's what I think.
I think I know the answer. I stumbled on, and all the world fell down, and the sky went silent, cracked like glass, and slowly tumbled to the ground. They all say if you look hard, you'll find your way back home. Born without a friend and bound to die alone. Thinking of your highness. All right, anyway.
Love that song, dude.
The song gives me goosebumps. No. It's funny. I came to know... No. I really love this song. I think it's the most beautiful and powerful song about loneliness in the history of rock. So sad. It's about loneliness.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe how it's okay to be alone or... I don't know.
This song is so ace. It's so depressing.
Yeah, songmeanings.com. The song's ace, bro. Yeah, it's like going to Wiki Answers when you have a question. It's always some dude who's like, I think it means this, dog.
I think it means...
You're like, okay. You're just a guy.
Because the song wants to say you got to accept that no matter what, you'll have to rely on yourself and lead your life. But I don't agree. There's not needing anyone. To me, believe in loneliness, stand up and everyone else to see your holiness means you should be your true self instead of being just the add-on to everyone else. It also means stand up in your loneliness. Don't try to hide it. Don't deceive others.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a great song.
All right. What is it called?
Zero Chance.
I'll go out of the outro with that because it has nothing to do with this other than Seattle.
I can't think of any coffee songs. Yeah, I don't even know.
I will look for a coffee Nirvana type song.
Bob Dylan had a song called One More Cup of Coffee for the Road. White Stripes covered it.
White Stripes cover was great.
It was good, yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, it was on their first album, I think.
Yeah.
So that's a coffee song.
That's when
song.
They were killing it.
Dude, there's
what's it called? Hotel?
Oh, St. Infer... No, no.
St. Ignatius Blues or whatever is that?
Something Infirmary Blues? I can't remember. My favorite song on that album... Don't ever sing again. You're ruining music. You're ruining all music. You've ruined sound. The best song on that album is called Do. D-O.
Do?
Yeah.
What is that? How does that go? You sing it.
No, I'm not gonna do your audience the disservice of singing.
Nick.
They're gonna fucking throw off their headphones and be like, I'll play it.
With arms wide open.
With arms wide open. It's so fun to do that grunge thing.
Oh, grunge must have hated Creed. They must have been like, get out of here.
Yeah. Well, dude.
Why are you trying to sound like us, Christian?
By then, grunge was so dead.
It was done. Once you had 7 Mary 3 come in and ruin it for everyone.
It's just blues, you know? Stripped down. Yeah, it's like that. It's good. It's like 2.5 minute long song.
That's all. All those songs were like 2.5, 3 minutes.
It's just simple.
Hotel Your Belinda.
Down. That was on that album. I don't have the whole album.
Hotel Your Belinda. It's like faster. Anyway, yeah, that album was great.
They did
that's
that
the one with.
Shit,
that's why
right.
the one they're wearing white and red on the cover.
Yeah,
in front of a white and red background.
Dude,
their Jolene cover on Conan was sick. You ever see that one?
That's the cover.
Oh, that's a like the other one. They might have had multiple covers for one.
Well, I mean, their whole color scheme then was all red and white and black, so it's like everything looked...
Did you ever see that cover of Jolene they did on Conan?
I think I did.
Kept this tense, it was like, don't steal my man. But every time he would go to the chorus, he would go over and yell in Meg's face.
Yeah.
He would go use that mic, then go back for the other shit.
Another good one on SNL. It was...
On SNL?
It was something, I think We Should Be Friends or whatever that song was. One of their later ones. That was like a really good live version. Yeah, they were good, man. Jack White, dude, that guy's like, he's one of the people preserving music.
I heard the produced Linda Ronstadt album. Was that who it was? Produced a country.
Loretta Lynn.
That's who it was. It was pretty fucking good.
Loretta Lynn.
Van Leer Rose.
Who?
That was the name of the album. Oh. Van Leer Rose.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, and then it was like, how's he gonna be on it? And it was like.
Yeah, she sang with him.
Helped in a song
on some. She did some songs on his new album.
Oh,
I think
really?
sang with him on a couple. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, Conor Oberst when he was Bright Eyes did that with Emmylou Harris.
He produced one of her songs.
No, she sang on a couple with him.
Really?
Yeah, those guys that appreciate older music. It's like they're not like fucking country's done. It's like that's where your shit came from.
He produced her album.
Yeah, they work with those guys too. They're like, sing on my album. You're going to make it great. You're a legend. You have a great voice.
Yeah, I love you.
Yeah. Help me out. Let's be musicians
Duncan
together.
Duncan said him and Natasha were doing a podcast once and they got Jay Maskus on, Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah.
I think it was him. Might have been someone else, but someone like that.
Yeah.
Kind of respected dude.
Yeah.
Maybe the other guy from Dinosaur Jr. What's his name?
I forget.
The big one.
Mark something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But they were like, shitting on like Kesha or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you think? Probably Natasha Moore was shitting on her, whatever it was. Right. Like, oh, I like her. And then he's like, I don't know, man. There's some catchy songs in there. It's, yeah. Something wrong with it. She's making some decent music. She's not hurting anybody.
Yeah. Dude,
and they're both like, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Great recommendation for you and listeners is the Sonic Highways series.
The Sonic Highways. What is that?
It's an 8-part documentary that the Foo Fighters made.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is they were recording a new album.
Is that the one with the warbled up fucking sound thing?
No, I don't know what that is.
Well, they use a soundboard they've recorded on, and all the smoke's gotten in there over the decades, and now it's only soundboard that sounds like that. And they try to record, and then Dave Grohl like bought it when they were going to like sell the place so people could record with it.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
So they did. They were like, we're doing a new album, and what they wanted to do was record a different song in a different city. Oh. So it turned into this like docu-series, right? So they do 8 cities. Each one's its own episode. They go to like Chicago first, and they go to, I think it was Chicago first. They go to Steve Albini, who's a record producer, did a lot of the old Nirvana albums and all this shit. Famous guy. They go to his recording studio. They get there. They tell you the story about that producer, his studio, and then they do like kind of a brief history of Chicago music, blues and jazz and all this shit. And then they, and the very end of the episode is them recording that. Their song in with that. Then they go to DC, they cover the DC punk scene. They go to Nashville, cover the Nashville country scene. They go to Austin, cover Austin like psychedelic rock and all that shit. They go to LA and they do out in the desert, Queens of the Stone Age, all the desert rock that started there. They go to Seattle, they cover
grunge. Desert rock, you mean like Joshua Tree shit?
Yeah, Queens of the Stone Age and like
where's
bands.
Where's Queens from?
They're from Joshua Tree. They're from like Palm Springs.
From there?
Yeah.
Wow.
All those Desert Sessions albums that were like all those dudes were, they recorded in the desert.
Because that's where they're from.
Yeah, they just set up fucking PAs and car lights for stage.
Outside.
And, yeah, they used to do concerts out there back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Queens of the Stone Age are the real deal. They did Chicago, they did New York and all the rock scene out there.
I used to be their drummer when Grohl couldn't do it and their main guy couldn't do it. They were calling me.
Yeah, he did Songs for the Deaf. He was a drummer on that.
Grohl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, if you like music, it's a 8-part great quick education on like music in different cities and where it all started and where it is now.
What are the big music recommendations? We went over Bon Iver and then let's get out of here. Courtney Barnett, is that her name?
Courtney Barnett is
I
one.
I like her.
I've been in like an old school fucking heavy metal kick right now.
I know. I don't want to hear anything about it because I don't like that music at all.
I know. Well, that's you having,
Slayer?
It's you having a closed mind.
I heard it though, man.
Heard well back in the day.
Yeah,
I'm looking at my recent editions on
get
here.
Better now that it's 30 years old.
If any of you guys are on RDO, I use that. You can always see what people are listening to.
Why don't you use Spotify, man? I keep waiting for you to get these playlists on Spotify.
Yeah, I don't like Spotify as much, and they don't pay the artists as well as RDO.
Does
and
RDO have everything?
They have everything Spotify has.
Should I download?
I mean, you can't. If to use it mobily, oh, you don't have a fucking thing.
I don't have it anyway. I just want, like, right now I play this. I play the shit in my, you know.
Right, on your computer, yeah.
But then, look, all I got is Rachel Simmons, her fucking playlist.
Okay, real quick, the new Father John Misty album, I Love You Honey Bear, is good. He used to be in Fleet Foxes years ago, and now he's like a solo singer-songwriter, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
There's an album called Empress Rising by a Swedish doom metal band called Motherlord, or Monolord. That's pretty good. Courtney Barnett, she has a single called Pedestrian at Best, which is really good.
What are you reading off your RDO playlist?
Yeah, just my recent additions. There's a band called Pond. They're kind of like psychedelic.
P3WND?
No, P-O-N-D.
Oh, okay. P-A?
They're kind of like a psychedelic rock, kind of like Tame Impala, that kind of thing. I think they might even be from Australia. They have an album called Man, It Feels Like Space Again. Yeah. Super cool. That's three. There's an old band that's no longer around anymore, like an indie rock band from Portland. They had one album, and then most of them died in a bus crash.
Whoa.
They're called The Exploding Hearts.
Oh.
And the album, the only one they had before they all died except one guy, it's called Guitar Romantic.
Hold on a second.
The Exploding Hearts. It's cool shit. Sean O'Connor and I were talking about it.
Wait, what's the name of it?
He was a big fan.
The Exploding Hearts?
The Exploding Hearts is the name of the band. Yeah. The new Slater Kinney album, by the way,
really?
Is so good.
Are they back?
They are back. And they are not fucking around.
What's the Slater Shattered? Guitar Romantic? There's two things here for Exploding Hearts.
Guitar Romantic is the album. I don't know what the other one is. The new Slater Kinney album is called No Cities to Love, and it rocks. It really does rock.
Slater Kid. Okay, let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's enough. We also we have a show to do in 8 minutes.
Yeah, but you know they're not going to start on time.
Yeah. No.
Where can people find you?
You
No Cities to Love. That's it.
No Cities to Love. Yeah. You can find me for everything, NickYousef.com. There's links to my Instagram and Twitter, and that is NickYousef is the handles for both, and then .com for the website.
Two S's, two F's.
Two S's, one F. YousF. March 13th and 14th, La Jolla Comedy Store.
What about April, though? What if I release it late?
Co-headlining. I don't have anything in April right now.
What about May?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay.
I will, but dude, sometimes that shit doesn't come up until, you know.
Like my dick when your mom.
But in case you do release it before March 20th through 22nd, Tempe Improv with Bobby Lee.
Let me tell you how to do dates. Here's how you do it.
Go ahead.
City first. People don't listen to the information until they hear, like, Tempe, I live in Phoenix. I'm right there.
Okay.
So you just lead with the city.
Okay.
Tempe.
That's what I do on Twitter. I lead with the
March
city.
March 13th and 14th at the Improv.
Okay.
That's how you do it. That's how you do dates. You catch people's eyes instantly. Oh, what? What is that?
Right.
March 13th. And then they can go to the website and then look for you there.
Yeah, that's how I do it on, like, Twitter. All caps city.
Yeah, so everyone else can ignore it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They go, it doesn't apply to me. I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
Please buy my album if you haven't yet. iTunes, or it's on vinyl. Go to a Special Thing Records.
Stop can, Not Owning This is your album.
Yes.
Produced by Jonah Ray?
The vinyl is on his new label. He started a label under inside of a Special Thing Records, and I'm the first release on his label.
Maybe I'll do that. It's passive aggressive.
Yeah. It's fucking cool, dude. It's at
Amoeba.
How many did you make? I think it's a limited 500, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't want to do 400 one cover, 100 limited release.
Someone said they saw it at a record store in Vegas. I know it's at Amoeba Records in Hollywood, so that might mean it's at the other Amoebas. If not, order it online. It's $15. It's cheap. It's fucking cool. It's the coolest thing I've done.
Vinyl?
Because I did it bare bones. No fucking insert. No colored vinyl. Just black.
Oh, right.
Nothing but the cover, just so people can. You know, people complain about spending money on music. It's like, I did it as cheap as I could.
Yeah. All right.
And there you have it. And my podcast, Occasionally Awesome, All Things Comedy Network on iTunes. Please subscribe. There you have it.
All right. Well, that's awesome. I don't drink coffee, so that was informative for me.
Good. I'm glad.
All right, everybody. That's it. And if you want to buy coffee that Nick described off Amazon, can you buy that shit off Amazon?
I think you can buy from some of those roasters. Stumptown, I think you can buy. Intelligentsia.
It was on Amazon, but use my Amazon link. Go to AriTheGreat.com. You can also find all of Nick's information, how to find him, and his links for his podcast and shit at AriTheGreat.com for this week. Or if you miss it and it's way later, just do a search on AriTheGreat.com for Nick Youssef, and you'll find the episodes he's been on. All right, everybody, that's it. Don't forget Shroomfest, August 29th through 31st this year. Get your coffee for that ahead of time. Let's go do comedy. His voice is trembled as he calls out for another plate of food. That's the episode, everybody. Thank you. Especially to Nick Youssef. So that's the episode, you guys. Cup of Joe. Of course, we should have talked about more. Nick was like, fuck, man, there's more I want to talk about. But we had to go. We had a show to do. Crowds at Seattle Parlor were really cool. So glad they have a downtown parlor. And all I got to do is shut those monitors off while the show is going on. It was fun. I liked Seattle. Cool city. That fight was amazing. That fight was so much fun to watch. Hey, get that thing. No, you didn't get the thing back. Yeah. Don't forget to use my Amazon link. Don't forget to see me in Portland, March 5th through 7th. Bray Improv, March 12th through the 14th. Sacramento Punchline, March 26th through 28th. And This Is Not Happening, March 10th in LA, 24th in LA, and 17th in Austin. All right, I guess I don't really have any wrap-up shit to talk about. I didn't watch the Oscars, if you're wondering. I don't really agree with their taste. They seem to reward big-budget stuff more than just quality movies. So, I mean, I don't even know who's watching. I saw this thing with Monique. this interview with Monique, and she said she was having trouble because since she won her Oscar for Best Actress for Precious, when she beat the shit out of her daughter or something. I didn't see it, but heard it was good. But she said she's having trouble getting roles, and people were saying, well, it's because of the way you acted after the Oscars, which wouldn't campaign for an Oscar. And her point was, what do you mean campaign? And they go, well, you know, it's like Obama when he campaigns to win. And her point, which I agree with, I say it like I'm surprised, like I ever agree with anything Monique says, but she's a badass bitch, you guys. She fucking lays it down. Her point was, with Obama, you don't know what he's going to do once he gets in office. He's promising you something, and he's got to convince you that he will be doing this thing that he's telling you he's going to do. He's got to tell you what he's going to do and then convince you that he's going to come through on it. With acting, she was like, it's on the screen. The role is already done. So what do you mean campaign? And the other people, the guy from like, who's the guy that was in Iron Man and then got aced out because he was so horrible to work with, him, he was like, well, no, you got to campaign because they got to know who you are, you know, and they got to really get to know you. But she's like, but why? They shouldn't get to know me. The role is there. So your job as a fucking voter for the Oscars is to watch the movies. You don't have to be friends with people. You don't have to get an email from the mailing list of fucking Bradley Cooper. Just watch the movie, decide who's the best. But they don't do that. They campaign. If you can campaign and have it help, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. But if you can campaign and have it help, it didn't matter with Monique, I guess because she fucking killed it so hard. But if you can campaign and have it help on a thing where in an industry where it's like, it's already there. There are no more promises to be made. Here's the role. There's nothing they can add to it. It's already done. If it can help in there, well, think how much more campaigning can help when you don't know what's going on, when you're guessing. And that's what lobbyists are. Lobbyists are just like, hey man, we'll just kind of convince you that we're cool and you should vote for us for whatever thing is. And that's how we don't have a fair country anymore. Because if you have enough money for a lobbyist, you can sway people's minds. You can change their minds. All right. Well, I don't know what to do with coffee. Drink tea. It's way better. All right, you guys. Hey, Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl. That's it. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 207, Cup of Joe, is over. Don't forget to click on my Amazon link on AriTheGreat.com and check it out for details on all the podcast, the music. Check out Nick Youssef's podcast, Occasionally Awesome, that he does with Kevin Christie. And tune in for This Is Not Happening this Thursday night and every Thursday night. Come on, man. Let me just finish the fucking podcast intro. Then I'll play with you. And every Thursday night at 12:30 a.m. after At Midnight, or whatever time At Midnight plays where you live. There was one more thing I wanted to say, but I forgot. What was it? Nothing to do with sponsors. Nothing to do with dates. Come on, man. What was it? Fuck. No, I got no clue. Well, it's gone. It's gone forever. Oh! My second hour, Passive Aggressive, is playing on Comedy Central on March 13th. So if you can set your DVRs now, set them now. It's also going to be for sale on Comedy Central Direct, but I'll have a link for it on my website, so you can just go to that. All the people who got it on chill, it's all gone now. You can get it again. The people who never got a chance to get it, you can get it again. March 13th. And Canadians, my special paid regular, my new one, is playing all week this week. So find your DVRs and fucking watch it if you haven't watched it. Obviously, I would say buy it. Because why not? It's an extra 30 minutes of the fucking special, plus another 7 minutes of a tour of the Comedy Store. And what it means to me, like where I worked the phones, where I had sex there, where I did that there. And then like a 15-minute Q&A, which is another tremendous feature. You get all that if you buy it. So if you go to the top of my website, AriTheGreat.com, and click on the link, the banner up top for paid regular, you can get it. $5, you guys. That's fucking nothing. It's nothing for the like almost 2 hours of entertainment. Jesus. I should reprice that. And get a 2015 tour shirt or any other merch, a 2015 tour poster, whatever you guys want to get. It's all there, the 3D shirts and posters. Fucking rad. Good night, everybody. Until next week. The Hitch Road.
You're the cream in my coffee. You're the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. You're the starch in my collar. You're the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. Most girls tell love tales, and you'll find each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known way. This way is my own way. You're the sail of my love boat. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. You are the cream in my coffee, and you are the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. You are the starch in my collar, and you are the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity. Oh, I'm wild about you. You give life savor, bring out its flavor. So this is clear, dear. You're my Worcestershire, dear. You're the sail of my love boat. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. That's all.